com. If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, New Time, Sunday 9 a.m. to noon.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts, with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Join us Friday, December 2nd for a night of bagpipes and whiskey at Wind River Resort and Casino inside Overtime. Whiskey tastings and food pairing along with a cigar demonstration. The Jefferson Pike Band of Shasta County will be performing after 30 years of memorials, parades, and concerts. They are on their way to the world's first pipe band championships in Glasgow, Scotland. All proceeds benefit the Jefferson Pike Band. Tickets are only $55. Free valet. Must be 21 to attend. For more information, visit jeffersonpikeband.org or windriver.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Well, welcome to a special Turkey Day edition of Sovereign Minds. We got a little bit different program for you today. Unfortunately, Linda was unable to make it back, and she's out visiting with family, having a good time. And our own Mark Kent is indisposed and will be returning next week. So until then, you're stuck with Wynn, myself carrying over, and special guest host Terry Raposa. We're going to be hitting a lot of really good stuff today, and we're going to have some special guest hosts that are some guests on the phone. They're going to help bang some things out and explain some things that are going on, and it's going to be a fun day. And just to start off, let me start by saying Thank you, Fidel Castro, for finally dropping dead. It took you long enough, you rotten son of a... But we're glad you're gone. I read the statement from my future president and was very happy with it. It wasn't conciliatory. It wasn't friendly. It wasn't anything. It called this man exactly out for the butcher and the fiend that he was. And I was very happy to see that response from the future leader of this country. My only complaint, Fidel, is why didn't you take the Whig De Leon from California with you? We know he's another mini you. So with that, welcome, Wynn, again.
Good morning. Thank you.
Welcome, Terry.
How you doing, Red?
And as always, Bob.
Good morning, gentlemen.
And we will not be having the long thing about the blended glide path and all of the other good stuff that Mark makes so much fun. Because I can't remember it all.
I laugh when I hear it, but I don't know it.
So with that, we want to dive in on our good city of Gotham here. And with that, we're going to let Terry take off, and he's got some stuff for us that he's going to bring out, and then we're going to dive into talking about it.
Well, you know, this morning, the newspaper, in their editorial and just about every letter, had remarks about the city of Reading. And the reason that this ties into Jefferson, what I'm going to talk about here, is the unfunded liability portion, which I'll get to, and Red certainly is an expert on that. But the thing I want to bring up here is that before we go on with anything, we are going to talk about wages. We're going to talk about what the people of the city of Reading make. We are using USA Wages as our source. And everything that we talk about factually is with a source. So, first of all, I think we're all really thankful in this room that Sherry Papini has been found. I think that's a great thing. What a great Thanksgiving gift that
Although,
is.
Although I think there's some troubling questions that need to be answered surrounding that her ordeal and what really happened and what we're facing.
Yeah, there's not very much coming out at this point. I can see where she was traumatized. The Sacramento Bee did say, and the news media did say, that she was severely beaten. So some of the new stuff did come out yesterday, but I know on Friday – I had done a radio program with Kelly Frost. We did a two-hour radio program on another station, which I won't mention. But anyway, we had talked about that at length. We didn't have all the information at that point, but I'm going to dive in here, and I'm going to bring some things up about the police, first of all. First of all, everybody in this room and probably everybody in Reading supports the police department.
Absolutely.
I mean, everybody
yes.
supports the police.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yep. Now, in saying that, and using U.S. wages, we have the fifth highest paid police department in the United States of America. I'm going to say that again. We have the fifth highest paid police department in the United States of America. That's not per capita. We have an average salary for a policeman of $102,000 a year. The largest salary is about $1,000 more, and that's it. Now, I'm going to back up to 2012. In 2012, we had 111 officers. 42, including 19 patrolmen, made more money than the police chief of San Diego. I kid you not. That's 42 of 111, including 19 patrolmen, made more money than the police chief of San Diego. Now, we were all told that we needed to pay police more because they wouldn't want to come here if we didn't.
Well, one of the things years ago when I sat down with Chief Paletti, he said, well, one of the reasons the payroll is so high here is the city of Reading is kind of considered an elite police force. We really have the best of the best here. And my thought is to that is that's fantastic other than the fact that our crime rate's not elite.
Exactly right. It's not elite at all. The thing that's really crazy about this is we were always told way back when by Mike Warren, et cetera, we were told that we needed to pay the police more so they'd come here. Well, in 2012, the RPD minimum pay was $59,072. And, Red, you're going to love this one. In Oakland, the minimum pay was $49,932. That's 18% less. Now, it gets better. In L.A., it was $48,462. That's 22% less. Who out there who works at a job would not like a 22% pay increase, live someplace where the cost of living is half, yet we have to persuade them to come here? Maybe you can shed some light on that, Red.
Well, me speaking for myself, I would take a pay cut to live in Reading over Oakland or Los Angeles.
How about a pay increase?
Oh, definitely.
And a lower cost of living.
Absolutely.
A better place to raise your kids.
Absolutely.
And no commute.
Better schools.
And no commute.
No commute.
Less likely to get your head blown off at some random traffic stop. Mm-hmm. So You're safer, you have a higher standard of living, a lower cost of living, and a pay raise. Yeah, I'd be all over it.
Okay, now whose fault is this? Now I'm going to use an analogy because Red and I are sports nuts. Mm-hmm. It's no secret. We're both Raider fans. Yay, Raiders.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And to my in-laws out there from Carolina, I am sorry for what my Raiders are about to do to your Panthers today.
Anyway, I'm going to use the analogy of Pedro Martinez. In 1997, Pedro Martinez was pitching for the Montreal Expos. He led the National League in just about everything.
Everything.
He became a free agent that year. Now, Pedro was out there wanting to look for about $6 million a year. Well, he's out there and he's getting some offers. Well, the Boston Red Sox offered him $11 million a year. Now, he took it. Now, is it Pedro's fault that the Boston Red Sox offered him double what he was looking for?
No,
of course not.
No.
And, you know, you can use the same analogy with RPD or anybody else. These guys want to come someplace. They want to raise their kids. They want money for the kids to go to college. You know, they want to buy a home, et cetera, et cetera. So basically, they're looking at whoever's going to offer you that job. You want the best deal. Now, a couple things about Boston, though, is they don't have unfunded liabilities of $300 million. And also, they don't get paid with taxpayer money.
Well, see, and that's one thing, too, that I have had difficulty getting through to some people, including some people in our city that I've discussed to. The $300 million in unfunded liability is current.
Yes.
It's only going to accelerate from
yes.
there. As CalPERS continues to go unfunded, as they continue to miss their targeting, it's going to grow and grow. And within 3 years, the exposure to the city of Reading is going to be 386% of payroll.
Holy mackerel.
That's done.
What was that, 386?
386% of payroll is going to go to pay retirement.
Well, you know, the other thing is, too, is that, you know, when you look at a professional baseball team or football team, when they start to have financial problems, usually the players will say, okay, well, you know, what we'll do is we'll go ahead and we'll give back. We'll take a pay cut for the good mm-hmm. of the team. Well, the RPD has gotten two payroll raises, you know, since 2012. So anyway,
Which also continues to accelerate the amount of unfunded liabilities.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now,
it's a death spiral.
Now, the chief wanted CSOs when he first came in. And Patrick Jones helped him find $400,000. That would have paid for five CSOs. That's community service officers. Mm-hmm. Okay. City manager Starman decided to use that money for the police station. Because the city said that the old station basically was falling apart. I mean, it may as well be condemned. We're now selling that old police station, which apparently somebody wants to offer a good amount of money for and then upgrade it. How does that work? And are we starting to deal with the word called the truth?
A little bit. A little bit. Because if you think about it, really what the new Reading Police Station is part of the downtown revitalization project that is being pushed by several of our council members who have direct vested interest and property.
Well, and don't forget now that not only with the police station being built, a new one, they have brand new police cars, new computer equipment. Oh, by the way, did I mention those two raises?
Yeah.
Now, in 2008, we had 172 employees that worked for RPD. That was on the payroll, 172 employees. The payroll was around $21 million. Today, we have 131 employees. That's 41 less employees. We pay almost $2 million more. How does that work? The cost of living in 2008 was higher than it is now. So the cost of living is less, yet for 41 less employees, we pay an extra $2 million. Oh, by the way, gas in 2008 was $4 a gallon. Now it's $2 a gallon.
Something, yeah.
You know, so, you know, it really makes you scratch your head on what's going on here. And did you say Gotham? Was that
Gotham.
The term used?
Yeah, we live in Gotham. We live in Gotham on the river.
Now, I don't know how close we are to a break, but I want to bring up Measure D. How are we doing, Bob?
It's break time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and scoot off to a break here, and we'll see you on the other side. You got any questions or comments, give us a call at 530-605-4567.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, we're Billy and Patrick for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
You know, Powerhouse Solar has been a local family-owned business since 2003, and solar is all they do.
Solar, electric, battery backup, hybrid systems, and pool solar so you can swim more months of the year.
Solar energy saves you money every month, and they have financing options available. Just give them a call for a free estimate. It's 275-5600 or visit their website at powerhousesolar.com.
They sell the best quality solar products from SunPower. SunPower has the highest efficiency panel in the world with the best warranty in the industry, 25 years bumper to bumper.
Powerhouse Solar offers a lifetime warranty for workmanship and installation to the original owner at the original location. So check out Solar, may be able to reduce your electricity costs and help save the environment.
Give them a call, 275-5600. Like SunPower, Powerhouse Solar has an A+ Better Business Bureau rating.
Check out their third-party customer reviews at powerhousesolar.com. Then call 275-5600 for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
It's Christmas time again at Dandelion. So join the ladies at 1322 Pine Street. Enjoy the 17 themed trees where you will find exciting brands like Brighton, Alex and Ani, beautiful sweaters, and delicious candles with scents like pumpkin spice and cinnamon cider. Have your sweetheart fill out a wish list to make your shopping easier, or have one of the many wonderful ladies help you with that special gift. It's Dandelion Unique Gifts and Clothing at 1322 Pine Street in beautiful downtown Reading.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Yeah, we're not slowing down here at Sovereign Minds. No intention of it.
Just doing laundry. Dirty laundry.
And one thing in the police chief's defense, Robert Blitty, he sat down across the desk from Kayla Brown and myself some years ago. And he was very blunt, very straightforward about payroll and some of the issues that he has and some of his concerns. And he said within very period point blank, if something doesn't change within 5 years, the city of Reading is not going to be able to hire new officers because all new money is going to have to be diverted to retirements. He was very upfront about that and, you know, expressed that that was one of his concerns is, what do I do then?
Yeah, I think that really, you know, Chief Paletti is trying to do the best job he can, but his hands are tied. I mean, he is beholden to city council and especially to Mr. Starman, but as we segue that into Measure D, which was the half-cent sales tax, which failed by a 2-to-1 margin,
yeah,
that's a pretty amazing thing.
And can I ask a quick question,
sure,
in your opinion? Because I've been asking people this.
Sure.
Do you think that Measure D failed because the people of Reading don't want to cough up an extra half-cent for public safety, or because they had no faith in their city council, that's where the funds would actually go?
Oh, it's definitely they had no faith in the city council. I mean, there was a paper to that effect this morning.
I get that answer out of about 8 out of 10 people.
They don't trust them. Well, I've got some stats for you, Red, which you're going to love. I mean, this is going to set your hair on fire, but it's already red. So, anyway, there was no guarantee this money would go to public safety, for one
thing.
They spent $155,000, the city did, for a study. Now, this study was supposed to be something that was going to give us a blueprint for our plan to fight against crime and how we should spend our money. Now, that blueprint came back, and it said that we did not need any more policemen. I'm going to say that again. We did not need any more policemen. What we needed was some more CSOs, possibly 8. Okay. Now, we know that they run us about $80,000 a year in total. So that was something that should be doable for the city of Reading. Well, of course, the city of Reading didn't like that. And Brent Weaver, our vice mayor, who ran on the platform of a safety plan that he said he had, did tell us.
Day one, out of the box.
Out of the box. But he did tell us now that we can't hold them to their shallow campaign promises. Mm. I mean, to say that in public, Kelly Foster and I were kind of giggling about that the other day on the radio. I mean, that's amazing that someone would say that. And then people started getting upset about that. And of course, the public comment was going to now in the city council forum was going to be moved to the end. That's because Mr. Weaver said, well, you know, actually, my children, when they're out of hand, need a timeout. I think the people of Reading need a timeout. I mean, it's almost uncomprehendable to me where this comes from and how arrogant that is from somebody who we've elected who's our employee. What do you think, Red?
Well, I think you volunteered for the job. You chose to be there. There's something that Wynn and I were talking about earlier is government service. You're there to serve, not have the people serve you. You're not there to be our dictator, our lord, our king, our earl, our duke, our landlord, or anybody else. You're there to commit to government service for the greater good of all. And to tell people that you're going to serve, you need a timeout because I don't want to listen to you, as you said, it's uncomprehendable.
Well, you made a really good point this morning on Jefferson State of Mind, and I thought it was an excellent point. When you said, you know, you really isn't a public employee. I mean, public employees work hard. I mean, Lassen County, for example, 70% of the population that work are government employees, yet they voted for Trump, which is kind of neat. But, you know, when you look at that, Red, you made a great point. That point is that, you know, are you really doing this job so you can serve the public? Are you doing this job because of the retirement, because of the money you make, because of the perks you get? And I'm not saying that that's a reason one way or another, but I thought that was an excellent point that you made this morning.
Mm-hmm. And I think that we ought to be able to pay our public employees the best that we can afford. But that's the thing. What can we afford?
Well, I know on this program here, on Carl Bott's program, I believe it was last Friday that Brent Weaver was on, or Friday before last, because last mm-hmm. Friday was a guest host, I think, but I was somewhere else. Brent Weaver had made the comment that the people disregarded his plan. Well, Red called up and said, well, was that the half-cent sales plan? Was that your plan the whole time? Of course, his rhetoric coming back at Red was, no, it wasn't, you know, and blah, 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 blah. But, I mean, why did he call it his plan?
Well, what it comes down to, and I take great offense to, is he essentially said that the crime rate and the failure to install a public safety program was because the people of the city of Reading didn't want to fund my plan. What plan, Brent? You campaigned on day one out of the box. I have a public safety plan. Day one. Where was it? It never appeared. It didn't appear. You had a private volunteer group in April LaFrench, and her people did amazing work, amazing research. I mean, you couldn't have paid for what those people did, how good they did it. You and the rest of the city council, Gary Cadd, ignored it, threw it out the window, disregarded it. They did that out of their own time, out of their own love of this city, and the treatment and the little pat on the head that you gave those people and sent them on their way is disgusting. You never had a plan, and then to say that, oh, well, the people chose not to fund my plan. The only thing they chose not to fund was the half-cent sales tax that had no guarantee for public safety. So if that wasn't your plan, per your own words, what plan of yours did not fund? Because you did spend $155,000 of the people's money that they did fund to take a plan so that you could ignore it. Putz.
Well, you know, as we move on here, you know, the people that did endorse this, I mean, you know, of course there was there was Leonard Modi and, of course, the police chief and, you know, all the familiar faces all sort of supported this thing. But here's the craziest thing about it.
Do they ever not support it when there's money involved?
Well, that's true. But the one thing I want to bring up is very interesting, and I hope you folks really get this. This is kind of an important thing. The chamber went ahead and endorsed the plan, and here was how they arrived at their endorsement. This is priceless. And this is Jake Mangus, who's a good man. He was just the messenger bringing this up. But you guys, this is going to be – there were 800 letters sent out to 800 businesses. Only 175 responded, which means 625 decided they didn't want to give an opinion on a yes or a no on D, probably because they didn't want to be either chastised by one side or the other. But whatever the case may be, only 175 responded. Out of that 175, 94 said they were for Measure D. 94 said
barely
yes.
50% of those that replied.
It gets better. 81 said no. We don't support it. Now, privately, many, many of the businesses were not supporting it. Now, if you look at that, 94 minus 81 is 13 net votes. On 13 net yeses out of 800, the Chamber of Commerce based their decision. And one more thing. The scary part about this is the fact that, remember, it was 2-1. D lost 2-1. Are you telling me that all the businesses voted for it? They were all yeses? I don't think so.
Not even close.
Not even close. You know, and I know from businesses, I have a business, I voted no. I mean, I can think, I know Carl voted no. There's a lot of people that voted no on this thing. And really and truly, when you look at it, the logic that was given to us by the Chamber of Commerce, the logic was, well, we have to do something. What kind of logic is that? We have a rainy day fund. We have a rainy day fund of an exorbitant amount of money. We can hire the CSOs. We could have hired the CSOs years ago. Mm-hmm. And to me, the outrage of this, and here's the best part, Red. This is the best part. After the failure of D, City Council gave Kim Niemer, the Director of Community Services and overseeing Parks and Recs, she's also the overseer of Parks and Recs, gave her a raise of around $12,000 a year. Her deal is worth over $140,000 a year. $140,000 a year.
To manage a parks department can't afford to fund.
They can't afford to fund. And here's the best part. Allen's Golf Course, they want to take that and turn it into a park. The city told the Record Searchlight they don't have any dollars, but they'll find it. And I'm going to let Red expand on that in just a second. But what about law enforcement? I mean, what about helping us fight crime? What about law enforcement? You can give somebody a raise, and you can make 140 plus grand a year. You buy a golf course to turn it into a park that you have no money for, and that's okay. But oh gosh, we need to raise taxes so we can pay for more policemen.
What's more important, public safety, or taking funds from the McConnell Foundation so that you can invest in another public-private partnership that helps expand McConnell's grasp on the waterfront?
Yeah, here's the thing, folks. It's hard to not believe anything, isn't it? I mean, if you look at all the facts we talked about this morning, we know we have the fifth highest paid police department in the United States. We know that they've gotten raises. We know we have new equipment. We know we have a new police station. We know that they want more money out of us. And one other question I've got when you talk about payroll, the average salary of a city employee that is full-time is $101,000. My source is USA Wages. I mean, you can't make this stuff
up. Well, the question is, too, is the dissatisfaction coming from the amount of the wages or the fact that we're seeing zero results from those wages? We're not seeing a net improvement in public safety. It's actually the exact opposite. It's getting worse every day.
Well, I know when we talked about the unfunded liability, Red, and you're an expert on that, and really he is, folks. I mean, I would love to see him just do a complete program on that. He came to the Patriot meeting last week and was amazing in giving us all the information that we needed on, yes, California and unfunded liability. But anyway, hope you do the program on that, Red, maybe sometime on this station here. But, you know, when you start looking at the unfunded liability gauging up to, by 2020, around $600 million. I know that Brent Weaver, when Gary Hollihan called in, Brent Weaver denied that on the radio. No, those aren't the facts. I don't believe that. Well, you see, the thing is that he had no source, no fact, didn't have any research, whereas Gary was using, which I have in my possession right here, he was using the reasons pension and foundation and integrity project. So that's the Reasons Foundation and pension integrity project.
There's that. There's the Stanford report that
proved
that CalPERS had been lying, just as we said that they had been all along. And to be perfectly honest, with half a brain, you can look at CalPERS' own numbers and find out where they're lying, how much they've lost. You just have to understand a balance sheet, which most small business owners can do. You would think that a small business owner such as Brent Weaver, who deals with multi-million dollar payroll and inventory, property owner, would have a basic grasp of how to balance a checkbook. Because if you balance CalPERS checkbooks off of their own information, you can see the glaring hole and just how big it is.
Well, I just think that, you know, at this point we have to act like grown-ups. You know, as Paul said, it's time to do grown-up things and not to get away from childish things. And I think that's one of the challenges that we have in Reading. We live in this bubble, and I know in working with 21 counties and actually traveling to five states last month, you know, and Jimmy, when you were talking about Texas, that was a good analogy. Sal and I are going to be going to Texas here pretty quick. But, yeah, I mean, you know, when you start looking at the position that people take, it's, you know, when's the next Mormosa? I mean, you got to wonder what the heck's going on in this town.
It is. It's out of all of the places that we have traveled, I have never seen anywhere like this. Anywhere. It's flabbergasting to me. And the audacity of this city council to sit there and lie right to a citizen's face and know that they're lying. You know that they're lying. They know that they're lying. And they still sit there and lie right to your face with a smile on it.
We have Gary Hollihan on the phone. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, gentlemen. Great show. On a positive note, I can't believe the city council is as incompetent as your facts point out. So I think they have a backroom deal. Since there are the whole city council is now bought and paid for by the McConnell Foundation and the Bethel Church. So I think with all their investments, they will bail out the city from its future bankruptcy.
At what price?
Which is coming in 2020.
At what price to the taxpayer?
Pardon?
At what price?
Well, my question is what price, at what concessions, what property are we giving up? Mm-hmm. What land are the citizens of Reading surrendering?
They'll come up with something. They're rolling in dough, and they've just been waiting for this opportune time, and now that they have the city council paid for, everybody on the city council is paid for by those two organizations, they'll come through with the money.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think the city council or the taxpayers and should make sure that they are not on the hook. They voted tax proposal down and be sure that they do it again. And one other piece, I think it's rather ironic. You just mentioned the Reason Foundation and the research on unfunded liabilities. The projected bankruptcy for the city of Reading is 2020, which is rather ironic. You catch, I'm sure Red does, the idea of 2020.
I do.
Because the city of Reading definitely does not have 2020 vision, and I'll sign off with that. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Gary.
And, Gary touches on a very good point about a lot of the chickens that are coming home to roost in California, local municipalities, and they're going to be landing late 2018, 2019, 2020. And it does coincide with what we're witnessing in California now, and something that we're going to be discussing in the next hour is the CalExit initiative and what's going on with that, who these people really are, what they're really up to, what they're about. And it is part of a larger plan. There is something afoul in the state of California.
It's way afoul.
It's bad, and it's trickle-down corruption. It has touched every level and every agency and everything that we can think of. So With that, we probably better get off to another break. And when we come back, we'll be discussing some more of the things that are going on and continue to go on, and some more of the lovely things that we can look forward to.
Here at KCNR 1460 AM. We're celebrating our 8th year on the air. We'd like to thank our holiday sponsors, the Original Clydes, located at 1250 Hartnell, the only full-service and sales store for television, satellite, and home electronics in Reading, and Zoe's Travel Store in the Mount Shasta Mall, from city streets to country gravel. Your fun begins at Zoe's Travel. Zoe's provides all your travel needs 7 days a week. From the KCNR family and sponsors, happy holidays.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Uncle Bob!
Uncle Bob!
Uncle Bob!
Uncle Bob!
What do you want?
Why does Mount Shasta spring water taste so good?
Because it comes from our protected springs at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. Uncle Bob, where does the water come from? From melting glaciers high atop Mount Shasta.
Wow, Uncle Bob, it's pure and simple.
Mount Shasta spring water is naturally the best. Yes, and anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227. Tell them Bob the Drop sent you.
Hi, I'm Rick Hughes, host of the newest talk radio show heard here on KCNR 1460 AM on the dial. It's called The Flotline, F-L-O-T, Flotline. It'll be heard every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 AM. Come join me and learn how God has tremendous problem-solving devices that you can use to stop the outside sources of adversity before they become the inside sources of stress. That's The Flotline with Rick Hughes every Sunday morning here on KCNR at 7 a.m.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 a.m.
That kind of sums it up, running on empty.
Yeah, that's Sally's favorite group. She just loves Jackson Browne. We can tell you, whenever we go somewhere on a road trip for Jefferson, I mean, Jackson Browne is on. All of a sudden, it's quiet in the car, and Sally starts playing her music. She's rocking out in the back. She does that, and she sleeps. Right, Wynn?
She does.
God bless her. She does a lot of work. You out there, baby?
Yep, she's in the chat room.
Oh,
and
good.
She piped right up, running on empty.
Yeah. Yeah, Wynn had a couple of things you wanted to add about the state of Jefferson here.
In regard to
the signatures.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, I went brain dead there for a moment.
Yeah, we've been talking about everything from Jefferson to football. To
Yeah. Like, what?
It's always fun during the break.
Well, you know, the support of the citizens of Shasta County specifically, we do have 32-plus thousand signatures. And for people to understand the impact that that has on what we're doing is enormous. And we're collecting them daily. And, you know, our team, everybody that has them, they turn them in to me. We get them accounted for, and we're going through the process. And so if you have them, bring them. If you don't and you haven't signed it, sign it. You have to have skin in the game, dog in the hunt, whatever you want to call it.
Smoke them if you got them.
Well, that's one of the things that has always just kind of been a conundrum for me is I don't get it. Is you look at the State of Jefferson movement, and one of the biggest pushers and the you know, is Shasta County.
Oh, yeah.
We have one of the largest committees. We have fantastic people that bust their butt, do their work. We've collected tens and tens of thousands of signatures. We have all of this amazing ability, talent, and go get it. And then you look around at the dumblefuds that we have for elected officials, and you go, how does this happen when we've got so many people that are awake and aware and committed? And then you look at who gets elected, and you just kind of go, how in the hell
because
does this happen?
We're doing it for the right reasons. When I say we, I'm talking about the Jefferson movement, people working for Jefferson. We're doing it for the right reasons. We're not in there for, you know, some glorious thing, not to be some pie-in-the-sky, I don't know, throne that they're all sitting on and benefits that they're going to get from.
Yeah,
we're
like
not
the Modi
doing that.
Triple dip.
Yeah, we're not doing any of that garbage. All we're doing is trying to get sovereignty and a free liberated state. That's what we're working for, because I'm doing it personally for my kids. Mm-hmm. Other people have different reasons for it, but I'm doing it for my kids. I want them to grow up in the state and the county of Shasta, that the state of California, or which will be Jefferson, but I want them to grow up in the state and the county like I did. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was safe. It was you had options. You had prospects, you know, at some point. Right now, not so much. And we need to get that turned around. We need to get it turned around now. And we need everybody out there to get up off the couch and start working and helping us out. And the thing is, nobody's paid by doing this. Not one of us. No. Actually, we pay to play. What we're doing is we're paying for the brochures. We're paying for the flags. We're paying for everything that we hand out to people.
And for you, hotel rooms.
Gas, hotel rooms, everything. We do all of that on our own dime so that we can bring sovereignty to you, the citizens. So let's get it going and have some skin in the game. What's that?
You're just such a jerk for doing that.
I know. I can't help it.
You're a bad person. You know, and it does. I want to raise a nice little pack of Get Her Done hillbillies. I don't want to raise some liberal underwater basket weaver.
Yeah.
I don't. And if my kid wants to grow up and be a liberal underwater basket weaver, okay, more power to you. But I want him to at least have the choice.
Right.
I don't want him to be pigeonholed and confined into a box, stamped and pressed out, and you're just going to be a good little drone in the machine.
I want to know what a dumblefud is.
I can't explain the full meaning of those three words put together and not violate the FCC.
Was that something I should have hit the button for?
No, dumblefud's okay, but if you take it the three words that make up dumblefud, not okay.
That's Red 411.
Oh, but it perfectly sums up these people, a dumblefud. And it just... I don't understand how the citizens of Shasta County can be aware on so many things, on marijuana issues, on gun rights, on water rights, on State of Jefferson, how many people are aware. But when it comes to local voting, it's just clueless.
Well, yeah, I mean, a good example of that is Measure D. I mean, you go back to that. I mean, it's a perfect example. You see a newspaper with, you know, you see Chief Paletti and nothing against these folks, and you see the sheriff, and you see some other – or wasn't the sheriff. I guess it was the undersheriff, whoever that was. And then they had, of course, Leonard Modi and Brent Weaver, you know, sitting in his chair, and everybody all sitting there, all these people that are supposed to be, quote, leaders of the community, and here they are supporting something. They run a big rally. They have money that they're pouring into this thing, and they get slaughtered 2-1. They get slaughtered. It's 2-1, 60% to 30. It was a slaughter. And the reason is trust, the lack of trust we have. Now, here's the thing. What's the solution? What do we do about it? We get them out of there. We vote them out. The other thing is, too, folks, and I'm just going to bring this up very briefly. Some of the things that we may have to do may not be palatable. You know, I'm sure that the three of us in this room would rather be doing a lot of other things than what we're doing. I'm sure many of you out there that would rather be doing other things, visiting with your family, you know, going fishing, going hunting, just not doing this stuff and fighting for liberty. But if we don't understand the fact that even at the local level, we are losing our liberty, we're losing our rights, for them to take the public comment and move it to the end of the session means we have to stand up and say, no, no, we're not going to do that. And I would submit to you that with every single item that they have at City Council, folks should sign up for that and start with, we don't trust you, even if it's about a pothole.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. You know, and what it may come down to is just going down to City Council and demanding to be heard at the beginning of the meeting, just standing up and start talking.
There you go.
You know, and what are they going to do?
Well, they'll probably have you removed, right? Forcibly,
because have me removed.
There's PD in the bathroom.
And I'll say right now, I may go down to City Council and just start talking and go, no, it's my time. It's at the beginning of the meeting. I am not waiting on you. And they may have me removed. And you can peacefully remove me just as fast as I can lay down and you can drag my 320-pound butt out of the room.
Well, you know, three things, okay? United States Code, Title 18, Section Code Number 242. They can't do that. Billy Bob, hey, buddy, how you doing out there, man?
Hey, good, Terry. Great to hear you on the radio. And Red and Gwen, you guys do such a great job. Hey, a couple of points. Everything you've hit on so far has been spot on. The fifth largest paid police department in America, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's amazing.
But let's go a step further. Our upper level management, Kurt Starman making $350,000 a year. We've got five directors, some of them in REU, some of them all the way down through the administration, making over $280,000 a year. This is a mini microcosm of Bell, California, if you remember that.
Well, the one that gets me is, how much is our former city manager making in retirement?
Yes.
Well, here's another thing, Billy Bob, that you might want to consider. Why do we have a city manager, a deputy city manager, and an assistant city manager? Between the three of them, that's $1 million. I'll say that again. Between the three of them, it's $1 million.
There's now, your CSOs.
You know, I mean, it's just unbelievable, my friend. But you know, I'm sure you heard earlier that the average income for a full time employee in the city of Reading is over $101,000. You heard that, didn't you?
Well, and this goes to show, Terry, that the staff runs the city. The city council are puppets. They are worthless creatures, and they aren't worth the salt or the pepper or whatever. But and then here, my point again is that Shasta County and this homeless and crime problem was originated 6 years ago, and famously by our board of supervisors and our sheriff, when we had a $38 million grant to build a 350-bed jail. And we turned it down, our famous thinkers in this county, because they said that we couldn't afford the operational costs. That is ridiculous.
Oh, man, you hit that on the head, my good friend. I'll tell you that. I know Sheriff Asenko's still upset about that, and rightfully so.
Well,
and rightfully
look
so.
The jail would have been complete by now,
yep.
Or 2 years ago. Well, we would have had 350 more criminals off the street. All this happy horse shit about going out of county and everything that we're fighting right now, it's ridiculous. We already made our mistakes, and that's the short-sightedness of this administration in this county and the city, and we are doomed. And so keep up the good work, you guys. Love your show.
Hey, yeah, one last thing, Billy Bob. I want to leave you with this really quick. When Sally and I were back to Maryland and back in Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Virginia, and Washington, D.C., we didn't see one Hillary sign when we were back there before the election. All we saw were Trump signs. And I know you've been a Trump advocate, my good friend. Since day one. You were there, buddy. All right, anyway, have a great day, pal.
And the only thing that I'd want to contribute, Billy Bob, is you refer to the short-sightedness. At what point does it become too repetitive to not be part of an agenda? At what point does it become too stupid to be stupid?
Yeah.
You know, and the question is okay, so you don't really want to solve the problem of public crime. Okay, why? Who benefits from that?
They do by staying alive, because the others that are going to go after them, once they become in those positions, mm-hmm. they are the puppet.
And when the crime rate goes up, you can do things like ask for a half-cent sales tax that's not guaranteed for public safety.
Yep.
If you don't have enough jail space, well, then you know you're just going to be rotating it out, and then the policemen's union can say, oh, well, it's more dangerous, we need more money. You know, all of these different things that go on. At what point is it no longer short-sighted?
It's using the people's money against the people.
Yeah. I'm tired of getting bribed with my own wallet.
Yeah.
Signe. How are you, darling? Signe of Reading, the better half of Nick. Just in the nick of time.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, you know, it's really quite simple. It's a very hard thing to do in our world, but it gets down to the bottom of who is our God? Who do we worship? And the love of money is the root of all evil, and you can't love God and love money. And I believe, from what I see, that our city council and government and state government is so corrupt, and they're worshiping money, and they are thieves. They are stealing it from we the people. And, you know, people that continue to do that and don't repent and bow down before God, where they would end up, if they could take that money with them, it would only add fuel to the fire. And so I'm encouraging us all to really double hard pray for our leaders, because they're lost. They are lying, and they're on the wrong track. And we suffer for it. But when a government is righteous and follows God's laws, then the people rejoice. And we're all moaning and groaning and complaining, and rightly so, because that's the way it is. And with that, we need to take those complaints to the Lord and pray.
Well,
that's my word for today.
Well, you know, Signe, and you make a good point, but here's the real deal. The real deal is that I know for myself, I can say I pray every morning. Every single morning I pray for our country, my kids. You know, I even at times pray for Obama. But, you know, the real deal is that God gave us a plan. He gave us the idea of representation. He gave us liberty. He gave us our rights. And here's another thing, too, that I want to segue onto off of what you said, which is absolutely right spot on. People say, well, you know, I have inalienable rights. Well, if you have inalienable rights, where do they come from? They come from God, okay?
Yeah.
If you don't believe in God, you don't have any rights. Because if God gives you the rights, only He can take them away. If man gives you rights, man can take them away. So don't come to me and say that you believe in the Constitution, you believe in your rights, and you don't believe in God. It's an oxymoron. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, it's the logic doesn't work.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And that's why one of Saul Alinsky's and the devil's rules are, first of all, to get the God out of the hearts of the people.
That's right.
Cool.
You're right. So. And what we need to do is pray and then action. The action is Jefferson. And, you know,
absolutely.
That's the action. Now, God's given us that action. You know, and here's another thing, too, that we have to, we don't want to mistake this for, well, you know, let go and let God. No, God uses people.
If
God didn't use people, then He wouldn't give us that last statement in Matthew to tell us to go out and to preach to all nations and to spread the word of Jesus Christ. Now, He would have done that if He didn't want to use people. I mean, I always think of Joshua. I don't want to lead these people, Lord. I want to be a soldier, man. I want to go out and break things, you know?
Well,
and then He makes Joshua move over and say, okay, no, you're going to lead the nation.
Well, I can give a perfect example, and, you know, of what kind of what Terry's talking about, we need to get off our butt. About 4 years ago, I was in a pretty low place in my life. I had just gone through nasty divorce, a horrible custody fight, a lot of things that had changed for me, a lot of things were not going well, and I broke down. I was driving my truck to work, and it just all kind of hit me at the same time, And I pulled over onto the side of the road, and I broke down in tears, and I said, God, I can't do this anymore. I take me, use me where you will, put me where you will, but I can't do this anymore. And you know what my answer was? The next night I met Terry Reposo.
Oh, so you guys are getting married? Is that the deal?
No, but that meeting with Terry has led me to where I am today and what I'm doing. I mean, that was the answer, and it took me of just throwing up my hands and going, okay, I'm done. I'm doing it wrong. I can't get it right. Where do you want me? What do you need me to do? And my answer was, get off your butt and do something about what you got a problem with.
There you go. There you go.
Talk to Signe.
Oh, sorry, Signe.
I was listening to both the car radio and here.
Yeah, I know. We kind of heard the car radio in the background.
Yeah. Is so great.
All right, my dear.
Justify, work hard. Don't give up. All of it.
Okay, say hi to that ornery husband of yours.
I sure will. He's kind of a sweetheart this morning, but I'll
yell. Is he? Okay.
All righty. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
More Sovereign Minds coming your way next here at KCNR Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I am Michael Harrington. President-elect Donald Trump says it's, quote, sad that Hillary Clinton is joining an effort to force vote recounts in up to three states. Trump tweeted part of Clinton's concession speech today when she told supporters they must accept that, quote, Donald Trump is going to be our president. Bernie Sanders, who lost to Hillary Clinton in the primary, says there's no problem with pursuing recounts to ensure the legitimacy of the election. However, the Vermont senator says nobody expects any, quote, profound change from any recount. New Orleans police are investigating the shooting of 10 people in the French Quarter early this morning, an incident in which one man died.
We were able to make two arrests on this scene. One of the victims was in possession of a firearm. Another subject, who perhaps may or may not be affiliated with this event, was arrested in possession of a firearm.
Police Superintendent Michael Harrison, the victims ranged in age from 20 to 37, two were women. With tax revenue from cigarettes spiraling downward, states are looking to tax vaping these days.
California approved Prop 56 this month, becoming the seventh state to tax e-cigarettes and will add $2 per pack state tax to cigarettes onto the already existing 87 cents per pack tax. The vaping industry estimates the tax could hike up the price of e-cigarettes by more than 60%. Public health communities split between those who support e-cigarettes being treated the same as tobacco and those who see them as an important tool in the fight against smoking, the leading cause of preventable deaths in the U.S. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Black Friday is still drawing a lot of shoppers to brick-and-mortar retailers. Officials at the Mall of America in Minnesota say they had their biggest Black Friday ever, but a lot are hitting the Internet, too. Adobe, which tracks online retail transactions, says people spent $3.3 billion on Friday. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Something shocking just happened in a Coast Guard unit in San Diego. The old guys in the unit have turned the tables and are now destroying the young bucks in head-to-head fitness tests. How is this even possible? Turns out the old guys in this unit have been part of a special test group for a doctor-formulated fountain of youth drink called Patriot Power Greens. Patriot Power Greens has been so effective for many of the older soldiers that it's made their achy joints, stiff muscles, and lack of energy a thing of the past. Previously, this drink was only available to elite military units. But for a limited time, the creator of Patriot Power Greens has set aside a small number of free sample packs specifically for our conservative friends. But you must act fast. Due to the high demand from members of the Coast Guard, our supply is extremely limited right now.
To claim your free samples of Patriot Power Greens, go to greens99.com. Greens99.com. Greens99.com.
Swiss voters have today rejected a plan to force their government to accelerate the country's exit from nuclear energy. A majority of cantons voted against the plan in today's referendum. Under Switzerland's direct democracy system, proposals have to get a majority of the cantons, which are kind of like states, and individual votes to pass. The plan, promoted by the Green Party, would have meant closing three of Switzerland's five nuclear plants next year, with the last shuttering coming in 2029, The government prefers a more gradual system that will end nuclear power in 2050. The new owners of a closed historic general store in New Hampshire are gearing up for its grand reopening soon. The brick store in the northern town of Bath was built more than 200 years ago and until this year had been in continuous operation as the general store. In January, its owners closed it, citing financial difficulties, but a new group is going to open it soon. News and analysis at townhall.com. We are learning more about a man who planned an attack on the U.S. Capitol to coincide with President Obama's 2015 State of the Union address.
Federal authorities say the Ohio man kept trying, from behind bars, to urge others to carry out violent acts in support of ISIS. Prosecutors described 22-year-old Christopher Lee Cornell's jail activities in a sentencing memorandum filed this week. They want a judge to sentence him to 30 years in prison after he pleaded guilty earlier this year to several charges.
Correspondent Rich Thomason. Today is Sunday, November the 27th. It's the 332nd day of 2016. There are just 34 days left in the year. On this date in history, 1901, the Army War College was established here in Washington, D.C. And on this date in 1924, Macy's first Thanksgiving Day parade took place in New York City. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Lies and believing these lies is the cause of much of the violence we are seeing in our country. What happens when those you could once trust to tell you the truth can no longer be trusted? Many of our politicians and much of the national news media purposely lie to promote an agenda and keep you from knowing the truth. The Bible makes it clear where lies originate. Who are you going to believe? Only through Jesus Christ and His Word will you know the truth that will make you free. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible without compromise, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a wall, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Well, welcome back to another hour of Sovereign Minds. Got your guest host, Terry Raposo, Wynn Carpenter, and stuck with me, Red. Apologize, and best we could do on short notice. So we do have
scraping the bottom of the barrel.
I know, and it's a deep barrel.
It's a deep barrel.
It's way down here. But we do have a couple of announcements before we get going too far. CalVet is having a resident holiday open house. They need community sponsors to host a party table for the resident neighborhoods. A sweet, savory, or beverage table. Come help the residents celebrate the holidays with family and friends. It's going to be December 12th or December 14th from 2 to 4. Host responsibilities is to provide volunteers and to host a table and visit with the residents. Go say hi to the veterans, have a good time. Decorate an 8-foot table, provide the paper goods that they're going to need, and food or drink to serve 50 people.
Awesome.
So if you're interested, please contact Jackie Cushman to host a table or gather more information at 530-224-3828 or at Jackie.Cushman, that's C-U-S-H-M-A-N, at calvet.ca.gov.
Awesome.
And on Monday night at the Patriot meeting at 6 o'clock on 3276 Pacelli Lane at the Eagle Nest Church, we are having the spokesperson for the Guardian Angels and Chief Rob Paletti. Yes, we're going to have the chief in. So we want all you listeners out there and folks to come to 3276 Pacelli Lane at 6 o'clock at the Eagle's Nest Church for the Patriots meeting. Ask him questions.
Lots of questions.
Lots of questions. You know, we want to really know what's really going on. Well, we have a guy coming on pretty soon who really does know what's going on.
Yes, we've got some things we can talk about and some things we can't talk about. Wish we could.
And right before that Patriot meeting, come to the Jefferson meeting. It's 5:30 till 6 o'clock. So it's a great little transition there. We get there a couple of minutes, 5:25, show up in the back room. We do our Jefferson meeting, and then we transition right into the Patriot meeting every Monday.
Absolutely. And one more for the veterans. If you're looking for something a little bit more personal, CalVet is also doing an Adopt-A-Veteran program. Make the holidays special for a veteran at the Reading Veterans Home. Starting November 20th, come into the home and pick a star off of the Adopt-A-Veteran tree in our front lobby. And then please drop off a new wrapped and securely tagged gift between December 15th and 22nd for one of our vets. For more information on that, call Gary Moore at 530-224-3814.
Oh.
You know, and what a great way to say thank you. Go host the table. Go. These guys have got the best stories.
Oh, man.
You know, and some of the things that they've been through. And it's really something. Take your kids so that they know and they appreciate what's been paid for them. Because I think a lot of the – you look around at some of the things that have gone on post-election and the hypocritical, sad sack, sanctimonious, poor me crap that has gone on. They have no appreciation of this country, what it stands for, what's been given or sacrificed for it, and they really need to know that. I mean, you've got Nimrods running around in Che Guevara shirts, you know.
Yeah.
And that brings us back to the death of Fidel Castro. Hooray! Hallelujah! You know, I'm sure our POS POTUS will be down there getting all mopey over the coffin like he did for Hugo Chavez and all the wonderful things he did for the people of Venezuela, right?
Well, wait a minute. Aren't all the people that live in Miami that came from Cuba, they're celebrating?
Oh, yeah, it's Miami Sound Machine down there right now.
They are celebrating like nobody's business.
It's the 80s all over again. It's party time. So because they understand.
They
fled
get it.
Dictatorship.
Yes, they did.
They understood what it was. And here you have our moron of a president celebrating this man's life. And it was people like Fidel Castro and his good buddy Che Guevara, who was a butcher, a murderer, a rapist, a vicious racist. He hated black people, murdered them by the truckload lots. And you've got these pinheads with their little safety pins and diaper pins running around in Che Guevara shirts, thinking they're revolutionaries.
Hmm.
You know what Fidel Castro would do to you, kid?
Yeah.
Chew you up, spit you out.
Yep.
Just dumb. Dumb to dumb dumb.
You know, and that's the thing. I mean, when you look at the sacrifice our veterans have made and the sacrifices that our young men and women make, and you look at a lot of people, you know, are afraid to say anything about even what's going on right here in River City because they don't want to upset the next person they're having a cocktail with.
Yeah. Wine and cheese crowd. Hmm. Quit whining. Don't be so cheesy.
You would expect more out of Devil Dog.
You would think.
You would think. It's a little, yeah. Well.
You know, one quick thing about Jefferson, too, just so folks really understand this. I mean, being 3 years old or a little over 3 years old and have done what's happened here has taken a lot of people. There isn't any one particular person. There's a lot of people who put the time in, don't get me wrong, but there's not one particular person that really can, you know, take credit for this. That's the beauty of grassroots movement is the fact that we have people from everywhere, every walk of life, that are willing to go ahead and stand up for liberty, which is something we need to do locally now.
Mm-hmm. And as I clarified earlier, you know, I've done some investigating and looked into it, and I'll make the statement right now. I'm in a rebellion against the state of California and no longer recognize myself as a citizen of that state.
Well, you know, the thing is that, you know, and one quick thing, I know that Paul should be calling in any minute now. And, you know, I know that one thing we have to realize is that the state of Jefferson wants to add a star to the flag, not take one off like Yes, California.
That's correct.
Well, I figure if we add the state of Jefferson, but we subtract the rest of California, then it'll be a wash. We'll still be at 50 stars.
There you go.
Don't have to make new flags.
That's right. What's not to like?
You're good, Bob. We've got a bad Bob and a good Bob. You're good, Bob.
Do we have Paul on the line?
I told him we were going to break and then join him after the commercial break.
Okay.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and hit that early break and then dive into Paul Preston.
Yeah.
Because once we get rolling, we're not going to want to stop.
We're ready for you, Eye Candy.
So with that, we'll see you on the other side with our guest, Paul Preston from Agenda 21 Radio. Buckle up.
And in the meantime, the phone line will still be open if you want to call at 530-605-4567.
This is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Join floral designer Janet Shields and Turtle Bay Exploration Park to create your own holiday wreath. On Saturday, December 3rd, from 9 a.m. to noon, participants will create their own fresh, full-size holiday wreath for the front door or family room for just $35 for Turtle Bay members and $40 for non-members. All instruction and materials are provided. Space is limited and pre-registration is required. Visit turtlebay.org to register now. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
that I used to draw. Portraiture in a human form. Doodle of a two-headed unicorn. It was soothing. Moving his arm in a fusion of man-made tools and amused him beyond even if it went beautifully wrong. It was tangible truth for a youth who refused to belong. No name nuisance. Stews in a bedroom. Booze in a brand new cuneiform. Barely commune with the whore. Got a whole grayscale ungluing his world. Might zone amp to the app of the magpie. Unseen hand dragging his graphite. Cross contour, a little bit of backlight. Black ink after a Bristol to baptize. You can't imagine a rush that ensue when you get three dimensions stuffed in a two. Then it's off to a school where it's all you get to. Being trained and observed by a capable few. Back in New York by peeps and a dog in a two bedroom doing menial jobs. Plus rhyming and stealing and being a clod. Distractions, freedom, a rod. I left some years of giving a light. I left some will the spirit away. I let my fears materialize. I let my skills deteriorate. Haunted by the thought of what I should have been. Continuing a mission that was rooted in a 20-year affinity and rickety condition with an ID crisis. Snap on the front lawn, look up in the sky. It's
shapes falling out of the fringe. All heart though we would have made cowardly kings. They will chop you down just to count your rings.
That might be a little fast and a little deep for some people, but that guy's got a message. It's all metaphor, but it's there. He knows what's going on. And to get into somebody that really knows what's going on, Paul, are you there?
I'm here. How are you guys doing?
Good morning, friend. How are you?
Doing good, buddy.
I'm doing great.
Hey, Paul, another face for radio, just like the three of us.
That's right. Beautiful faces we have.
As Terry calls you, eye candy.
Eye candy.
That's right.
Radio eye candy.
Radio eye candy. There you go. So how are you guys doing down there in Reading? Or up there in Reading? We're over there in Reading.
Up here. We're doing well.
Great, great. Did you get a nice rainstorm and all that?
Oh, yeah, yesterday was great. We needed the rain. It was great.
We got irrigated.
It's almost like they stopped chemtrailing us for some reason.
Oh,
it's weird. Why? Maybe a change in administration?
Oh. Maybe. He doesn't want that stuff on his plane.
Yeah. So.
Wet, yeah, and the sky was blue. I forgot that it wasn't this weird, hazy.
I mean, seriously, the last
and it wasn't shimmering
weeks.
Blue, was it?
No.
Yeah, where's all my pretty rainbow colors?
Shimmer stuff.
Yeah.
And you can see the Sierras we're at.
I can breathe.
The city, and it looks beautiful, snow covered. I mean, it's like, geez, this is the way it used to be 20 years ago.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, when I sneeze, I don't get metal flakes like a bad transmission.
Well, you know, it's really interesting, but on my property, I've got a drain spout that comes down, and it kind of slowly, you know, comes down over the dry spell when it stops raining. And so it's when you go in and you look at where the water is trickling out onto the concrete, it's got a silver tint to it.
Hmm.
No joke. It looks just like aluminum sitting there on the ground.
Does California tax you for that?
You know, I guess I probably shouldn't talk about it on the radio.
You're not allowed to collect it, Paul.
That's right. No collecting.
It's not your water.
You have to get a permit for pollution.
It's not my aluminum.
Right.
Even nanoparticulates. So you guys been talking about this big story that Chris Street was leading with on Breitbart, actually, yesterday, broke this story about Donald Trump probably would like to withhold funds from California, federal funds that come to California. And it has exploded all over the nation now as a major article. And your town in Reading and all towns that have deficit spending and they have unfunded liabilities are doomed for bankruptcy. That's basically it. So have a good day.
Offer your mimosas, huh?
Yeah.
That's right, it's Sunday.
Yeah, grab a beer, sit back, Sunday and run. Watch.
So, yeah, and you have the article. We took the article and put it up on agenda21radio.news or 821r.com. And this is, I think, this article spells it all out about the financial situation going on in California. And we've been saying this on Agenda 21 Radio, Chris Street and myself, and actually before that, when we were the Inside Education Show, Chris was coming on the air and warning everybody about California's financial instability. And by the way, it's kind of interesting that Chris Street, who was the former treasurer of Orange County, back in the day when Barney Frank was the House chair, he was a chair of one of the banking committee, I think is what it was. And a lot of people don't know this, but all of a sudden, if you follow politics, you realize Barney Frank just sort of fell off the earth. You notice that? Did you notice that? And it wasn't because he was, you know, having sex with boys and things like that. That would be very ethical if he would resign if he got caught doing that. But he didn't, of course. So it took R. Chris Street to doom him. And this is how it happened. Chris was called to testify in front of the committee. This is back in 2008, early. And Barney Frank is the chair. He's up there, you know, doing his oral business that he does. And he started talking to Chris about what he thought about the economy. Chris warned him. He said, you know, if you want to do certain things within this committee, and I don't know exactly what the particulars were, he says, what's going to happen is the ratings people are going to downgrade America's credit. To which Barney Frank said, oh, that'll never happen. Oh, if it does, I'm going to be a buyer. So he goes on with this whole diatribe about how Chris Street can be wrong. Well, 2 days later, they dropped the credit rating.
For the first time in history.
History. And so the guy who was running against Barney Frank called Chris and said, you know, look, Chris, what we're going to do is play your sound bites with him as a commercial over and over and over again. And you know what Barney Frank did? He retired. He stopped running. He literally stopped his campaign and retired. So you can thank Chris Street for getting rid of Barney Frank.
Well, if he was convicted, the only problem with that is if he went to prison, he might like it.
Well, that would be an issue. That would be an issue for the fellow prisoners.
Yeah, I don't know how far we want to go down the pedophile hole.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm just hearing some rumblings that Reading has got some issues regarding this. And really what it is, and for those of you who don't know, I don't know how much you guys explained how your funding formula is working and everything, but I know a little bit about it being a superintendent of schools and stuff. But traditionally, the state gets federal funds, and we get a disproportionate large amount of money from the federal government. You get about 37% federal funds coming into the state for the state to use, usually in the form of block grants. And these things are lapped up by the communities and so on. But if they get the money from the state, which, you know, the federal government can say, yeah, this money is destined to go to, you know, Redding, California. But, you know, it's got to go through the state first. And oftentimes what they do is hold those funds up and don't deliver. They're called deliverables. They don't deliver the money to the county, the state, the county, the city, the entity, the water company, the school district, and so on. They just hold on to the money. And California also does that with our own taxes to all of our different entities out there, such as the school districts. And, of course, that was a prime example for me. That they defer funds rather than give you the full face value of what funds are owed you. So most school districts, they get their money from average daily attendance. And let's say a school district was going to get $100,000 for a certain pay period. They're called P1, P2, and P3 periods for pay. Well, you would expect that the state's going to give them $100,000. But in reality, what happens is the state says, I'll give you 50 now, and then I'll owe you later another 50. Now, schools have been tolerating.
And then they take out a bond to pay that 50.
And they also take out an administration fee of 14 to 40%.
Oh, you know, I'm glad you brought that up.
I'm trying to lead you there, Eye Candy.
Yeah. But, you know, so in other words, the hustle by the state to take the money that is really truly due, Redding, California, or the school districts up there, or any school district in the state, just doesn't get there. The state takes it, and the state uses it.
Mm-hmm.
And what the state uses it for are social programs, primarily for illegal aliens, actually, and all the different programs for anybody who's coming across the border illegally. But now that we have, you know, El Presidente, Jerry Brown, I call him El Presidente because he deeply wants to be the president of California, not just the governor.
I thought King.
The Alcalde.
Yeah, the Alcalde.
Yeah, there's something like that. Anyway, the schools are and other agencies are left unfunded, you know, fully funded. So that's why, if you want to know why everybody's in a sick and anemic condition as far as, you know, your bank statements and the amount of money the school gets or whatever, they've been bled dry. And at one point, it was about $15 billion that was owed to public schools in California collectively. Now, my understanding is that number has actually been brought down by Jerry Brown by a couple billion, but it's still money that the school districts will never see, nor the communities will ever see. And I had an opportunity to have we had a town hall meeting with the Tea Party here in Sutter Buttes, and we asked the Yuba City School District to show up and talk about funding and all this other stuff for the school district. And it was interesting talking to the superintendent and talking to the assistant superintendent in charge of finance. And I asked him that direct question. I said, are you ever going to see the money? I asked him how much money is owed to you collectively since they stopped fully funding you back in 2000. And the guy, the finance guy said, well, it's about $28 million that's owed the school district. Now, that's a lot of money for a school district. And those kids in the school district, your school district, just aren't getting the full funding they're deserving. And so I said to them, and I knew the answer. I wouldn't ask a question if I didn't know the answer. But I asked him, will you ever see that money? And both of them were just sat there. As I got the word money out. And they're just shaking their head. No, they'll never see it. All that money's been, you know, whittled away down there, down the rabbit hole.
That's reminiscent of something that we watched and experienced ourselves in our own Shasta County Board of Supervisors chamber when they were discussing public health services money. And the county of Shasta had already outlaid $3 million as they were instructed to do by the state. And the state said, yeah, we're not going to pay you. And they asked the lady there at the Board of Supervisors, well, when will we see the check from the state of California? She said, maybe 2 to 3 years, probably never.
Never, right.
And that's a perfect example of what the state of California does.
Yeah, and I remember one of the supervisors made the comment, well, they do that to us all the time. Oh, it happens all the
like
time.
Like it was nothing.
Like it's
nothing.
Okay.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean,
you're going to roll over and die for that one.
Well,
he
collects his check. He doesn't care.
Right. Yeah, what does he care? And CalPERS will always be there. You know, and that's what gets me is these guys don't have the foresight to go, wait a minute, they lie to us about our budgets, but they'd never lie to us about CalPERS. They'd never lie to me about my salary.
Right.
And there is not a dime that is redistributed by the state or the federal government that doesn't generate with the people in the first place.
Right.
And everybody seems to have such a hard time grasping that. And the threat to cut off federal funding to the state of California is a dire one, and it helps you to understand how badly the state of California is lying to you, because if you look at California's number, we're a net contributor to the federal government to the tune of 93 cents a dollar. So really, if they were to cut off federal funding, we would be to the good 7 cents on every dollar if their numbers were true, but they're not, because the lack of federal funds for our social programs and the number of people that we are supporting on the back of taxpayers is devastating. Without those federal funds, California is toast.
Right. And in Chris's article, he points out this, and I love the title, that Sanctuary California faces bankruptcy if Trump withholds federal funds. And I learned this trick because I opened up a charter school that required federal funding for a startup. And I learned this because my charter school, we had two of them. The first one we opened up as under the Schwarzenegger administration, which was Republican. Then Jerry Brown was elected in September. We opened up in November. We opened our school up in September, but Jerry Brown became governor, was elected, you know, in November. And the day after the election, the school, Department of Education, somebody called me from there and said, well, they're going to close your school down. We'd only been open for a month. And I said, why? He says, well, Jerry Brown's going to close it down. He says, first of all, you're a vocational school, and second of all, they're not going to let you have all the federal funds. So they slow-walked me through this whole thing. The State Department of Education people did. They lied to me up and down.
No.
About how much money I was supposed to get or whatever.
No,
But at the same time that they do things like they did to you, they're still accepting the federal money and then never passing it on.
Exactly. That's exactly it became a shell game. I literally was up in third or fifth floor there in the Department of Education, walking from office to office. And at one point I realized it was just a hustle. What I really realized at a point is that they had already spent the money, and they didn't have the money to give if they could give it. And they weren't going to have it for months. I mean, even remotely, because they were playing the shell game, moving money around. And as it turned out, especially in the charter schools division, there was great corruption there. Because what money they were getting in, it was the people that were leading the pack, so to speak, they were giving their money to their charter schools, crony capitalists. I mean, it's just amazing. That's what we were finding out. So this is not just in Washington, ladies and gentlemen. It's right here, and this is this is what California's turned into.
And all of this ties into the failure of several of the vocational schools and colleges such as Concordia, ITT Tech, Trump University, things like that. And it has been absolute deliberate targeting on behalf of the state.
Right. Well, the federal government, too. In fact, we had a contract that we were developing with Corinthian colleges to supply high school diploma programs for their students at WyoTech and all their different colleges and, you know, postgraduate programs. And because in order to get the federal funding, the first thing that a student had to do was have a high school diploma. And that was a requirement that Obama put in. When he first became president, that's the first thing he did. So all of a sudden, it sent all these trade schools out scrambling to make sure that their students had a high school diploma so they could qualify for the Pell Grants and so on. And when I found out about that, I said, great, well, we'll put a program together and we'll get you guys high school diplomas, you know, that sort of thing. And so we came up with a program that we gave them what was called the technical diploma based upon their credit that they had already performed. So in other words, if a student had, you know, supposed to graduate high school with 220 credits, but they had achieved 150, the threshold was 150 credits, we gave them an unaccredited diploma called a technical diploma. And this technical diploma was enough to get them the grants. And of course, what happened was the federal government never defined what a diploma was. They just said you have to have a high school diploma. Okay, well, what is that? They never defined it. So we came up with a technical high school diploma based upon work that was done plus concurrent work that would be applied to it when they graduated, which would get them a full accredited, high school diploma, which would then allow them to go into colleges. Well, that was working swimmingly. Yeah, they loved that. But then they got wind of that, and they changed the criteria again for these kids. And, of course, WyoTech and ITT, all these other companies, they didn't want to lose students. They wanted the high school program, so we had the program to offer, but they started cutting that down by saying, well, you have to have a program that's accredited high school diploma, blah, 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 blah. So then ultimately, this attack on the private schools paid dividends to the Obama administration because they closed down Corinthian colleges. And some people, then just recently, ITT Tech closed down because of this predatory behavior by the federal government. Mm-hmm. And that's a big consortium. A lot of students that need the vocational. They're just destroying anything in the state of California or in the nation that has anything to do with technical education.
They allowed all of these students to take out these federally backed predatory loans that they now own student debt to attend a college that's been put out of business because the federal government withheld the funding to kill the colleges.
Right. And they did. They were withholding funding. Because people would put the applications in, and under normal circumstances, they would get it. What was good in the Bush administration for funding for students was not good in the Obama administration. And after about 3 or 4 months of their administration, they just shut it all down. So the students couldn't get their money. I mean, it's a terrible thing to do. But, you know, again, it was a private school. Anything private was destroyed.
And this is just one small aspect of the corruption and what's going on and why California has become addicted to federal funding.
Right. Well, yeah, we get like 37% of our budget from federal funds. The interesting thing that Chris brings out is that 40% of all welfare cases are in California.
Yeah. We have 12% of the population and 42% of the welfare recipients. How is that sustainable? How does that
It's work? Not.
And, you know, the question is the targeting on these sanctuary cities. I came across something very, very interesting. Essentially, what a sanctuary city does is extends protection to an individual that prevents the federal government from enforcing federal law, prevents these individuals from being extradited, prevents these people from being prosecuted under federal law. Now, according to the Constitution of the United States of America, all privileges, rights, and protections that are of the individuals of all the states must be provided to the citizens of all the individual states.
So does that not mean that if you extend the protection against the federal government for certain citizens, that you have to extend that protection to all citizens from federal extradition and prosecution?
Good question.
That's a good question. I mean, is there an echo? That's a good question.
No.
I can maybe clean that up a little bit. Is basically the Constitution states that if you have, if any person has the rights, privileges, protections as a citizen in one state, they have to extend that same protection, rights, and privileges to all of the citizens equally. So if you are protected as a sanctuary city from federal extradition and federal prosecution, you as a sanctuary city have to provide that sanctuary to every citizen within the state.
But are the sanctuary cities being used for citizens or for non-citizens?
Ah, now that's the real rub. That's where you get into it, and that's an argument that you can make to force the state of California to define the difference between non-citizen and citizen. And where you can extend the argument of you can no longer treat these people as the same when you define them as a separate class of people in one instance, they have to be defined as a separate class of people in another instance, which goes back to one of the things that I always preach about what is really going on with illegal immigration and what California is doing. They are creating second-class citizens that are dependent upon man and the government for their rights. Their rights are not inalienable. Their rights are not protected by the Constitution. They are granted by the goodwill and the whim of men in government, and that is called slavery, my friends, and it's horrible.
Yes.
That's how we lose our liberty.
It is. It's the first stone in the avalanche.
Yep, that and taking our guns.
Where's the NRA been in the gun issue?
Who?
For California.
Who's that?
Did I get the initial? Did I get the initials wrong?
I don't know about
rifles or something.
Yeah, I think
they're just not exist.
Was
they're not even in the conversation. I talked to people down in the Capitol, and they didn't hear anything from any of the lobbyists trying to stop any of this stuff.
No.
Not a word.
They didn't even try to get in the way of it.
No.
Hey, with that, Paul, we got to take a break. So we'll be back on the other side, and we'll be talking more about this.
The number to call here at Sovereign Minds is 530-605-4567 if you'd like to join in.
Tired of watching California burn down around your ears?
Tired of watching your rights stripped away?
Finally ready to do something about it?
Join us,
Red Smith
and Wynn Carpenter,
in the fight for the Jefferson Free State.
Every Sunday, 8 to 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460, Free Fire Radio.
It's only after you've lost everything that you're free to do anything.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Happy holidays from our family here at KCNR 1460 AM. We're celebrating our 8th year on the air. We'd like to thank our holiday sponsors, the Original Clydes, located at 1250 Hartnell, the only full-service and sales store for television, satellite, and home electronics in Reading, and Zoe's Travel Store in the Mount Shasta Mall, from city streets to country gravel. Your fun begins at Zoe's Travel. Zoe's provides all your travel needs 7 days a week. From the KCNR family and sponsors, happy holidays.
Jake Shimabukuro is returning to Reading's Cascade Theater. He's the ukulele wizard that Rolling Stone has declared a musical hero. He's fun, innovative, and amazing in concert. Don't miss Hawaiian ukulele master Jake Shimabukuro in concert December 11th at the Cascade. Tickets at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
KCNR 1460 a.m., the most local programming in Northern California.
It started in basements, and it started in sheds. Started in backyards and was hidden under beds. I turned on the TV, don't believe a word they say. We can't stay here now, love. Park. The sun is set, my friend. And California's dark.
Welcome back to Sovereign Minds. And unfortunately, that song is a very good and accurate assessment. The sun is set, my friends. California's dark.
Just blew the smoke out of the barrel.
Probably because we can't pay the power bill. And with that, we're here with Agenda 21's own Paul Preston. We're discussing the breaking story from Breitbart about the very good potential that Donald Trump will cut off federal funding to sanctuary cities in California. And just how many of those cities are there, Paul?
Well, Chris points out, four of them that are San Francisco, Los Angeles, at least those two. And I was looking over this whole article here.
And
actually, there's a total of 300 sanctuary cities in throughout the United States that they're servicing right now. So you have Los Angeles, and I thought you said that there was four of them here in California. It must be San Francisco, and maybe it's San Diego also.
I believe there's four major ones in California, all of which of those four are teetering on the edge of bankruptcy already and have
already
been
right.
Walking that tightrope for some time.
Well, it's kind of interesting because, as Chris points out in his article, and I'll read this to you, it says here that the Department of Justice's Inspector General issued a memorandum in August that advised that sanctuary city practices violate federal law. Now, here's the problem for people like Garcetti and, you know, San Francisco mayor. Is it Gavin Newsom? He's not mayor right now, is he?
No.
No, he wants to be governor.
He wants to be vice king.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it is, sure.
head
as opposed to Viceroy. Anyway, it says here that because the Attorney General, the Inspector General, has said that they're violating federal law, it says that this empowers anybody who comes in as the next Attorney General to strip sanctuary cities, including New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, and Washington, D.C., of certain federal law enforcement grants. These are all those cop grants that people have been talking about, you know, where we're going to try and make all of our cities into one big massive police force around the nation and ultimately the globe.
Yeah, and all local police forces subject directly to the Federal Department of Justice.
Yeah. I mean, you just turn your police force over to the feds. That's it. It says he can also seek court orders. This is, of course, we're talking about Jeff Sessions, who would be the one that would run it if he gets nominated or he gets approved. He can also seek court orders to strip federal grants from any government entities refusing to comply with U.S. laws.
Any agency.
Any. The word, yes. It's a three-letter word, actually. Did you know that?
Yeah.
A-N-Y.
Any.
So if you're one of these cities, one of these counties, one of these communities that are violating federal law, and you aren't complying with it, you can expect that the Trumpers are going to be knocking at your door. California is a target for the Trump people. There's no question about it because of what the mischief that's been going on in California for years. You know,
yeah,
it's all coming home to roost. Who said that?
My understanding is also that what they're being a little bit more quiet about is that determination by the Inspector General also allows them to open up investigations for potential prosecution.
Correct. For violation of federal law. Fraud. Now, I understand there's a lot of laws that prevent people from suing the government. You know, your environmental agencies are all big on these sort of things. But this opens the door, literally, and these investigations would open the door for criminal activity.
Well,
massive lawsuits.
One of the interesting things is that California passed some years ago that a lot of people do not know is that once a public official is informed that they are in violation of the law, they can be personally prosecuted and personally liable and have to surrender their own assets to meet that liability.
Yeah.
So now that they've been informed, these heads of these sanctuary cities have been informed, you are in violation of federal law. If they continue their practices, not only can they be personally prosecuted, but they can be personally sued by people that have been caused harm because of their violation of the law. Can anybody say Kate's Law? Anybody that has been harmed or violated, murdered, mugged, raped by any illegal alien who has found sanctuary in a sanctuary city now has a personal liable lawsuit against the individuals that enacted that sanctuary city?
Well, I can tell you that it goes beyond that even in the world of education. I can envision lawsuits being filed against the state by school districts, charter schools. How many charter schools have been put out of business?
Oh, yeah.
Because of the chicanery that's been going on with the Department of Education not funding them, taking the federal money and not giving it to you, like the startup grants. That's what they did with me. They just didn't give me the startup grant money, or they trickled it out very slowly and didn't give me the full value. They didn't give me the full amount.
Now
we had to resort to loans and my pocketbook, wallet, that sort of thing.
Now
the
determination by the Inspector General also did not just single out sanctuary cities and illegal immigrants. It said any agency that is violating U.S. law, correct?
Correct.
That would be any U.S. law. Say, like the California Department of Justice, who has already been preceded with a ruling that states that the 10-day waiting period on a firearm is unconstitutional, yet they still continue to practice that in violation of U.S. law.
Right.
So anybody that has been denied during their 10-day waiting period or impeded or impaired by that 10-day waiting period over the last 24 months that they have refused to remove that law, you have a lawsuit.
Well, let me go on in the article because,
interesting.
You know, Chris quotes Sessions, and this plays right into what you're talking about here. It says, Sessions applauded the finding of the Inspector General. Of course he would. But he'll tell you what he's going to do. Says, quote, now the law and the American people demand that this administration cease its acquiescence in this illegality. The Obama administration must immediately take action to withhold significant federal law enforcement funding for these offending jurisdictions. So now I'm going to extrapolate that out. Once he gets in, he's going to do that. And then the other thing that he is going to do by way of the president is he's going to start to look at criminal behavior for the state agencies.
Some of that in California.
Well, they're going to find plenty of that. Mm-hmm. They're going to find plenty of that. I mean, I can give them some addresses right now.
Well, there's great evidence of Jerry Brown being complicit in a great many criminal things that not only cross state boundaries, but international boundaries.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I think Katie Grimes pointed that out in her great article she did about a year ago on this whole Brown cabal to include people like the Castro brothers, Peña from Mexico, the governor of Oregon, the governor of Washington, and Trudeau.
Trudeau and the head there in Quebec and British Columbia.
Yeah.
And that was a pay-to-play green scheme that actually brought down the governor of Oregon, Kitzhaber. There's a lot more to that can of worms than people have been able to get into and to expose.
And we rest assured, we will expose it.
And it ties into the Rancher Hammond situation. It ties into the Malheur Refuge. It ties into the Bundy Ranch. It's all one big ball of wax. And the man with his hand up Mona Lisa's dress is Jerry Brown.
Wow.
I wouldn't want to be Mona Lisa.
No, I wouldn't either. So, but you see some of the things that's going on with that. And are you going to have time to hold over the next hour?
Yeah.
Paul,
yeah, I'll be fine.
And we can start discussing the ties to, excuse me, to the Cal Exit movement and
the timing of all this stuff with the state tanking like this couldn't be better for a Cal Exit, right?
Yeah, it's convenient.
But you know what? It's absolutely superior for a new state to be formed called Jefferson.
It is that time. It's beyond that time. So. All right, well, we are going to have to get off to our break here in about 5 minutes, and our guest host, Terry, is going to have to take his leave of us at about 11, and we wanted to give him a chance to get in a couple of things and thank him for his time. So before you head on out.
Okay, well, a couple of quick things about Jefferson. First of all, folks, as we've talked about many times, we've tried every single legislator down in Sacramento. We have asked them to help us create a bill, possibly a joint resolution, some way of giving us more representation. Because of the lack of representation and because of the dilution of vote, our only remedy for lack of representation seems to be a court case. Now, I would expect probably next week Mark Baird will have more stuff on Jefferson's state of mind, and he will call in and give some more information, and probably on this program too, on Sovereign Minds, on where we're going with all of that. But the real deal is that the state of Jefferson wants to add a star to the flag. We are Americans. We love the United States. No matter what California decides to do, if they in fact decide that they want to form their own country, that Jerry Brown wants to have his own empire, then at that point we will stand with the United States of America. We will stand against tyranny. We will stand against this California country and stand with our country. We may even be the 50th state. They may not have to change the flag if these guys get what they want. But the whole point is that at this point, the one thing everybody has to realize, the folks in the state of Jefferson and those 21 counties are patriots. Again, we love our country. We want to be in a position to where we can have all those great rights that we should have as a state, as a sovereign state, as a state with the state rights, as a state that enacts the 10th Amendment, the 9th Amendment, the whole Constitution, and not be in a position to where we're under the tyranny of the state of California. And at this point, we really are now. And the one thing we want to always establish is the fact that we are not seceding from the Union. Eventually will get the remedy that we want. I believe that the state of Jefferson, and know that it's the real deal. I really believe that we have a strong position in our court case. And again, next week you'll get a little more information on this. So with that, that's about all I have to say, guys. And you guys are awesome to do stuff with, a lot of fun. You folks should be here between the breaks.
It's the best of times.
It's hilarious. Some of the stuff on the chat room. Hey, Tatanka, I'll get you back, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, some of the stuff in there is great stuff. You know, like the suggestion to our inability to house our criminals is perhaps we should have more people shot while escaping.
That's one of the nice ones.
Yeah. Solutions, people, solutions.
And that's the whole thing, too. Let's start talking about the solutions and real reality solutions. And again, a solution definitely is a state that is a sovereign state, mm-hmm. a state that's part of the United States of America, and not this ridiculous idea of forming your own country. Isn't that treason and sedition?
It's treason.
Yeah, absolutely.
How they're even getting away with that, I don't know. But the whole point is that it is what it is, folks. God bless you all, and time has come for 51.
All right. Thank you very much, Terry. It is good to have you in, and stay tuned for the last hour of Sovereign Minds. It'll be Wynn Carpenter and myself here with Paul Preston, and we got a lot more to dive into.
More Sovereign Minds coming your way next here at KCNR Shasta Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I am Michael Harrington. Donald Trump's camp is condemning the push to force recounts in three pivotal states in his November 8th election victory. This is Ryan Priebus on Fox News Sunday.
It is a total and complete hypocritical joke that the group of people that thought that they were nervous about President-elect Trump not conceding are the people that are conducting recounts in states where we've won by over 68,000 votes.
Meanwhile, Trump is using Hillary Clinton's own words to make his case against the recount, tweeting out today part of Clinton's concession speech when she told supporters they must accept that, quote, Donald Trump is going to be our president. One dead, 9 wounded after a shooting in the French Quarter of New Orleans last night, despite increased police presence for the annual Bayou Classic football game.
We've made a strong message that this was not the place or time to bring firearms to this French Quarter during the Bayou Classic event or any event. We made that very clear, and we're going to pursue this to the fullest extent of the law.
Police Superintendent Michael Harrison, all the victims were in their 20s or 30s, 2 were women. The North Dakota sheriff leading the response to the Dakota Access Oil Pipeline protests is not apologizing for taking a hard line with demonstrators. Morton County Sheriff Kyle Kirschmeyer says he won't allow people to be, quote, unlawful. More than 525 people from across the country have been arrested during months of protests over the four-state $3.8 billion pipeline. Veterans are planning a protest at a Western Massachusetts college over its decision to stop flying American flags. Officials at Hampshire College in Amherst took down its flags after the main flag in the center of campus was allegedly burned in protest of Donald Trump's election. Black Friday drew a lot of folks to brick-and-mortar retailers, but they hit the online sales as well, $3.3 billion made. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Something shocking just happened in a Coast Guard unit in San Diego. The old guys in the unit have turned the tables and are now destroying the young bucks in head-to-head fitness tests. How is this even possible? Turns out the old guys in this unit have been part of a special test group for a doctor-formulated fountain of youth drink called Patriot Power Greens. Patriot Power Greens has been so effective for many of the older soldiers that it's made their achy joints, stiff muscles, and lack of energy a thing of the past. Previously, this drink was only available to elite military units. But for a limited time, the creator of Patriot Power Greens has set aside a small number of free sample packs specifically for our conservative friends. But you must act fast. Due to the high demand from members of the Coast Guard, our supply is extremely limited right now.
To claim your free samples of Patriot Power Greens, go to greens99.com. Greens99.com. Greens99.com.
A Syrian war monitoring group says at least 400 people in the contested city of Aleppo have fled opposition-held districts to areas under government control. The Britain-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights says the evacuees sought refuge inside of government lines east of Aleppo, taken by pro-government forces yesterday. An estimated 250,000 people are trapped in tough conditions in rebel-held eastern Aleppo since the government sealed its siege of the enclave in late August. food supplies are reportedly running perilously low. Russian news reports say a prominent young chess grandmaster has died after falling from a balcony, apparently while undertaking the extreme sport of parkour. 20-year-old Yuri Elisev died late Saturday after falling from the 12th story of his apartment building in Moscow. Parkour involves climbing, jumping to difficult perches, and various acrobatic moves. It is highly dangerous. News and analysis at townhall.com. Senators are pledging to take a hard line with Russia next year, setting up a potential conflict with the incoming president.
South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham says, among other things, allegations against a foreign government interfering in the U.S. election process cannot go unanswered. The Obama administration has formally accused Russia of hacking. Arizona Senator John McCain has warned President-elect Donald Trump against another reset of U.S.-Moscow relations. But Tennessee Republican Senator Bob Corker, who heads the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, says in his words, people are going to figure out where they're going to be when it comes to an effort to get tough with Russia. Linda Kenyon, Washington.
Today is Sunday, November the 27th. It's a birthday for a number of notable people, including Academy Award-winning director Catherine Bigelow. She is 65 years old today. Former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty turns 56. And Bill Nye the Science Guy is 61. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is Joe McKenna, CEO of CloudWise Academy and your host of the Digital Revolution Show. If you own a business, run a business, or want to start a business, then this show is for you. I'll pull back the green curtain exposing how the internet is impacting your business and give you the rules and tools to take control. If it's related to the internet and matters to business, we'll be talking about it here. Tune in every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. to the Digital Revolution Show on KCNR 1460.
It's Christmas time again at Dandelion. So join the ladies at 1322 Pine Street. Enjoy the 17 themed trees, where you will find exciting brands like Brighton, Alex and Ani, beautiful sweaters, and delicious candles with scents like pumpkin spice and cinnamon cider. Have your sweetheart fill out a wish list to make your shopping easier, or have one of the many wonderful ladies help you with that special gift. It's Dandelion Unique Gifts and Clothing at 1322 Pine Street in beautiful downtown Reading.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Well, welcome back to the last hour of Sovereign Minds. Kind of a special day today, a little bit different. Our two regular co-hosts, Linda Kent and Mark Kent, are out today. So we've been covered by some guest host, Terry Raposa, Wynn Carpenter, who's still here with me, and our special guest, Paul Preston, who's here. We've been discussing everything from the corruption and the bankruptcy that's facing our local municipalities to our once great state in California and the things that are going on. And before we left off, we were just starting to get into the Cal Exit concept. For those of you that don't know, there is a movement once referred to as Yes California, who was actually Sovereign California before that, now that is disguising themselves as CalExit, that seemed to prop up spontaneously after this last election. It's actually calling to remove the state of California from the union to form its own republic, and strangely enough, to divide that republic into several states because California as a whole is too large to govern. This is being supported by the same people who have refused to back
the State of Jefferson movement, have refused to acknowledge that California is too big to govern, has stated that these states could not succeed on their own without the California tit to suckle from, yet their plan is to remove ourselves from the protections of the United States Constitution and the country itself so that they can divide us into more manageable parts. What do you got to say to that, Paul?
Great.
Brilliant.
Yeah, just a great idea, isn't it? But, you know, the in all seriousness, this is the part of the plan to basically destroy the country. They want to dissolve the borders. Now, we're talking about the globalists because I think, Rid, you're probably going to mention who's behind all this, the financial end of it. And I think we have some stunning news if people haven't heard already about the people behind it all.
Yeah,
but it sort of dovetails into the financial situation that the state finds itself in. And, of course, Trump could possibly play a major role in pushing people towards exiting the union because of non-funding from the federal government. That's going to be the excuse, of course. And the people will feel more comfortable having their own money, their own nation, and aligned as such. And I've heard this from Europeans. I actually heard it from Lord Monckton, who thought that it would be a better idea to do that than it would be the state of Jefferson. I quickly corrected him. It's
yeah,
nice
we
that
he's ain't
English.
Going.
I don't think he understands the American way of doing things. No. And but a lot of people have talked about that, and they think that that's the viability. The first thing you have to do, though, is correct them when you do talk to them. I always do. I say, well, I ask them, do you understand what secede means? And they say, well, you're going to make a new state. I said, no. They don't get that.
Let me ask
you
a question.
Teach them about that.
And I'm sure I'll be accused of being racist for this question, but how long do you think that it would take for an independent California to be just another failed Latin state?
About 10 years max.
Yeah.
I mean, we're well on that way right now.
Yeah, we're already on our way. But before we get too deep into this, we do have a caller on the line. Lori, are you there?
Good morning, Lori.
Hi. Good morning, beautiful brothers. And Paul, he's a miracle man. Happy
Thank
to hear you.
You
started out the program, Paul, with the mention of your rain, and you could see some silvery material in it. I'm not sure if people caught yesterday's installation of Dane's update on the legal team with the class action lawsuit on these heavy metals, but they don't care. The rainfall tests are no longer valid in court, so this is why Dane has had to have two more attorneys join the team.
Wow.
To address that, and I was about to go to your chat room and tell you we're being sprayed to pieces right now as well. But if you guys can continue with your conversation on Pizzagate, the pedophile ring going on, I don't think it's just Washington D.C. and all the heads.
Lori, we have a lot of knowledge of that, and
yep.
have for going on what almost 3 weeks now, Paul.
Yeah,
and there's some of that. In the interest of prosecution, I don't think we'll be touching.
Okay,
but we understand it, and maybe some of the listeners get where I come from on this issue. I was trained by the LAPD Crimes Against Children's Task Force back in the 1980s about this, and was fully briefed on this international ring that's out there. And it's big, it's extensive, it gets into members of our own federal government, members of the House, members of the Senate, a lot of worldwide leaders are implicated in this. It is not going to be something that's going to go away, Lori.
Oh, no.
Not and now. It's too public.
Things. I'm happy to hear that because I will be a good dog and sit and stay and wait and watch until absolutely every person involved in any level is prosecuted and they can all join wherever. They should all just trade out whoever the upset celebrities that want to go to Canada. Hey, try Cuba. Hey, it's just like this little jigsaw, weird boundaries thing going on. And Chief Paletti is going to be available, I believe, Town Hall Wednesday night here in Reading.
He's also going to be at the Patriots meeting Monday.
Patriot Party with the Guardian Angels. So yeah. I'm glad to hear that because this has just been the most sickening week for me to look into this. I'm a clinician therapist, and I have worked with sexually abused people and survivors, mm-hmm. and it's one of those things, and Paul, you've been in education, you know that this is the scar of your life when things like this happen, if you even survive it.
I will say one thing about it, Lori, is take how bad you can imagine it being, and it's worse.
Oh, it's 100. It's 1,000 times worse, Lori, than what you know it to be.
It's
bad.
Yeah. The kill videos, the torture, the all, and that's why I think we were so shocked to hear that Sherry Rapini came up, because my first thought was it was human trafficking. They nabbed that little gal easily, and I am stunned she is alive.
Right, they usually kill them.
Well, I'm going to take a shot in the dark and think that they paid a ransom for her. And if that's a kidnap for ransom is straight out of the Mexican cartel playbook, it happens all the time in Southern California, mostly among the illegal alien population, because they're afraid to go to law enforcement.
I don't know where Chief Paletti is on this question on it, but two opportunities this week. And before I let you guys go and continue your conversation, is we're doing our last library forum on a film called End Times California, and it's 1 hour, and this is a way for people to meet Dane Wigington if they have not done so this Saturday, December 3rd, Reading Library, free, 3:30 to 5:30. So I thought the title's pretty fitting for what we're doing with this last few weeks of 2016 and where we're going. Wow, I think I need to find a faith-based something stronger than what I'm doing right now. All right, good to talk with you guys. I love your show.
All right, thanks. Thank you. And with that, before we get going again, we've got another phone call from Ron in Reading.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Ron.
excuse me. I've got a question. I'll take my answer off the air. If Jerry Brown could be held accountable for the crimes against the citizens, I think he takes money from the government for that sanctuary city. Can also the Catholic Church and the Lutheran Church be held liable? Don't they also take money from the government to bring these illegal aliens into the country? And so that's my question. So anyhow, I'll get off the line and let somebody else get on and listen to my answer on the air.
I'd say that's a fantastic question and right on point. And without being a lawyer, I would say absolutely.
Yeah, what a lot of people don't understand is that you have a lot of your church organizations that have teamed up with the Obama administration. And you may recall that about a year ago now, President Obama flew to Salt Lake City to meet with the elders of the Mormon Church. And nobody was allowed in the meeting. No press, nobody. They don't know what they talked about. Well, I'll reveal to you probably what they talked about. We don't know for sure. I wasn't there. But understanding that this president, in his waning day, well, the last couple of years, he has opened up these immigration programs. And these immigration programs are basically three of them, the New Americans Program, the Welcoming Communities Program, and the Immigration Program. And each one of these has a specific function, but the end result for them is to bring as many immigrants into the United States as possible. And this is one of the things that I think it was the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals was there was a court case that came up, and they wanted to stop this with the president. They actually went, he was going to give amnesty as part of this deal. And the Fifth Circuit stepped in and said, no, you can't do that. But he's basically effectively given amnesty to anybody who wants to come across the border. He's opened the border. The border has been porous and flooding across. Now, where do all these people go? They have to be fed. They have to be sheltered. They have to have clothing. Well, that's the end game for the president. He supplies money in the billions of dollars to Catholic relief organizations and also to the Lutherans and to the Methodists and so on. It's a multi-billion dollar industry in these people that are coming across the border. And I call it, we did the stories on this a year ago, and we call it the trafficking in human flesh and slavery. Because these kids that are coming across unattached, well, guess what? They're actually allowing them to be released as orphans out on the streets. And ultimately, they end up in public schools. So they're flooding the schools, and they're changing the demographics of the schools. I mean, you can see how this all plays out. But the big thing is these kids ultimately find their way into a foster care situation. And those of you who have been involved with foster families, and so a great job. I mean, it's really difficult work to do it right, but there's a lot of people that are involved with the foster care families that are in it for the wrong reasons. And I've worked with this for years. I know what goes on. Mm-hmm. Some of these foster families are getting $7,000 per child, and they might have four children in the household per month. Hello? You want to add that up real quick? how much money that is per month for four kids. So this is the game. The end game is to get them into foster care and get these thousands of tens of thousands of dollars per month into a household. Now, that's very lucrative. And I've watched this whole thing play out many, many times. I've worked with foster families. I've worked with foster agencies. I understand the gig that's going on here. Now it's just absolutely skyrocketed. So these people are benefiting. Your Catholic charities are benefiting, run by the Jesuits, I might add. This is all part of the scam. And they're bringing these, they're creating disruption through the gangs down in South and Central America. And by the way, it's not just drugs that the cartels deal with.
No.
The biggest amount of money that comes to the cartels is, guess what? Trafficking in human flesh and slavery. The slave trade is still going on. It's alive and well. It's living here in America.
It's bigger than it's ever been.
Obama has added to it. People don't. Oh, they think we're just helping out the poor immigrants. Well, we're creating turmoil. Not us, but the cartels are creating turmoil, separating kids, or buying kids, selling kids. There's a huge trade in buying and selling kids.
Remember what almost 2 years ago, the border crisis with all the kids, and that we were housing them at military bases, and we wouldn't even let United States congressmen onto those bases to see what's going on.
Where are they now? Fort Sill. It was Fort Sill where that congressman tried to go on, and they refused to let him onto the base to see what those kids were doing.
Where are those children?
And where are they and all that stuff? They also, he was hearing that they were training, that our military on that base, Fort Sill, was actually training immigrants in military-style tactics. Now, what's that all about? That's why he went. That's been going on for years.
Yeah, where are they?
Yeah, and where are they?
Who are they?
Exactly.
With that, we got another caller, Roberta.
Good morning, Roberta.
Are you there, Roberta?
I am.
There you are. You're on the air.
You're on the air. You have questions?
Oh, good morning. No, I have a testimony.
Okay.
No.
I had two grandchildren, went through the CPS program, were adopted by a family down in Merced. That family adopted eight kids total. My grandson was so horribly abused, he found a way to get in touch with me, and when he was 16, he called and said, I've got to get out of here. So I went down, talked to the parents, and they agreed to let him go. And I went to Wally Herger's office. Of course, nothing was ever done to the parents. But I did get that one grandson out of there, and 2 years later, I was able to get his sister out of there, too. But in going through counseling with them, I learned that these kids were put through some satanic things.
Right.
My grandson was locked in a casket, for instance. So I know what is going on. And, yes, this needs to get public and something needs to be done. This is horrible.
It is. And I think that it's about to be exposed in a massive way, Roberta. The WikiLeaks email, the Podesta emails, the code that they're using to identify the sex trafficking, it's once you understand the full scope and are able to translate those emails, they're horrifying.
Well, that's true. And you know what? Those people, I won't call them parents. They weren't parents.
Those people did not complete
the adoption of those kids. So for all those years, they just took the money.
Right. How much money were they getting per child, do you know?
I don't know how much they were getting, but I'm sure that they were, you know, getting quite a bit. And
Were your grandkids special education?
Pardon?
Were they in special education, your grandkids?
No, she homeschooled them.
Well, it doesn't mean that they still could qualify for special education. And that's the money, honey, right there.
Once you get certain disabilities identified,
then they give you more money per disability. That's how you get up to the $7,000 to $8,000 range.
Yeah, I am absolutely sure that they were.
Yeah, you'd have to check their school records and see if they were. They'd keep you out of touch, of course. But the school records would be very clear that they're special education.
And well, that's the money, honey. Once they get them identified as having those other additional or a certain educational deficiency, then you know they start piling them on.
Well, what she did was she established her own school.
Sure, I bet she did.
So she didn't report to the Department of Education.
Well, she had to report to somebody, but she's still hiding what she's doing by homeschooling all those kids.
Yeah, that's true. Well, thank you so much for the program. I think it's really terrific that people are becoming aware and understanding, and keep up the good work, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. You know, and that says, you know, as this continues to come out, and as Paul was saying earlier, it's going to come out. It's too big. It's too exposed for it not to come out. But I urge everybody, especially journalists out there, be careful with how you approach this and what you do with it, because these people cannot afford to allow these people to slink off into the dark or get away with what they've done. They absolutely need to pay for it, and we need to make sure we get every one of them.
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult, and you know, I want to tell people that when you get involved in these kind of things, and that 86 is the, you know, it's 30 years ago that I was trained in this. I still have two cases that people stay in touch with me, one from 1987, and then, I'm sorry, 1985, that we developed and came in 86 and 87. I still hear on that one. We have a missing abducted child that we still are working on from 1986. And then another case that comes to me, everyone, they call and ask advice or whatever. They're very difficult to prosecute. They're very difficult to track down because they are such phenomenal. Everybody covers for one another. You can see that happening right now with Podesta and everything. But this goes on. And so 30 years of being involved in it, still to this day, we have some unsolved things. We're still trying to look for answers. And it's very difficult to prosecute. But now with the Internet, it's kind of interesting. They are so bold. One of the things that you find out with child molesters and pedophiles is they love to take pictures of what they're doing. So that's a whole new dimension, of course. That's why it's, you know, the separation between adult pornography and child molestation is, you know, I understand the moral ethical thing about pornography, but there is a complete, ladies and gentlemen, a completely different world from pornography to child molestation and pedophilia. Trust me. And that's why it's criminal to pass it back and forth. I mean, because some of the stuff is so disturbing. In fact, when they came out with the picture of Anthony Weiner with his child, and I'm not going to get into the descriptors here, but what he was doing actually was using a code, if you will, with the picture and what was in the picture, the content of the picture, to attract other pedophiles or involvement in other pedophile rings. He's just kind of a stupid guy that way, but they just can't help themselves. This is what they do. And they put it out on the Internet. That's a criminal. That was a felony when he did that. And the people that were passing it on, like the New York Post, they printed it. And, you know, I was on the air because people listened to my radio show in Albany, New York. I got a pretty good fan base going on. Albany, New York, it's kind of random, I know. And I was sort of pleading, I said, you need to contact the officials and tell them it's a crime to put that out on the newspaper, which it was. And they quickly took everything down. I don't think you can find any pictures of Anthony Weiner with his child now, because it was clearly a pornographic or a pedophilic picture, an invitation, a calling card, if you will, on the Internet. And that's just kind of the way they work. But it's, you know, a completely different world from pornography to pedophilia and child molestation. That's why it's such a huge criminal crime, a big crime, big felonies that are associated with the transferring of child pornography, which it just should be. My God, it should be. Some of the stuff is just unbelievable.
And the other thing to remember, too, is these people are dangerous. They have no compunction over enslaving, defiling, abusing, raping, and murdering children. They're not going to have any compunction over you.
That's right.
They're not human beings.
Ultimately, the end game for a lot of these kids that are taken up and bought and sold is currency, which is one of the things we're investigating. I'll sort of bring this out. We're investigating the fact that Hillary Clinton, in exchange for money for some of her things for her foundation, took in children as payment for services.
Yep. And that
think about that, ladies and gentlemen.
Her foundation also provided money to organizations that have proven to be nothing but collection rings. Her connection to what's the lady's name? Lysander Landers in Haiti. That was funded by the Clinton Foundation,
right.
And that was an orphanage organization that collected young Haitian boys and girls for the purpose of the slave trade.
Right. That's what goes on.
I want that to really resonate with people that this is what's going on. This is what the Clintons and Podesta and these people were involved in. And as Paul said, they accepted young children as currency. And that this is just the start of what is going on with these people. It is horrific.
Yeah, we're not even going to say things on the radio. It's just absolutely amazing, some of the stuff. And, you know, like I said, I've been dealing with this, you know, when they taught us all this stuff, and it was part of my administrative package and stuff. I thought to myself, what have I gotten myself into? And every once in a while, it crops up, in my life or as a school administrator, it was always popping up. We had a pretty big sex ring in West Sacramento when I was down there that we put the kibosh on, that involved several of my students, the junior high age students that were of a certain particular persuasion. And we bust, you know, the West Sacramento Police Department and the DOJ were very, very good at the time. And they did an excellent job in breaking the ring up. But it involved trafficking of kids up and down the state. We tracked them through Redding. We tracked them through Yuba City. We tracked them through Chico. We tracked them further north into Oregon. So it's moving. You know, they're pimping, basically, on the road.
Yeah, and they'll take them somewhere and they'll work an area, and then they'll exchange them or hand them off to a different broker or pimp or whatever you want to call them, and they'll work them in an area, and then they'll pass them along until they outlive their usefulness.
And if they're not compatible, they'll usually end up dead.
What we're discovering, too, is a lot of these people that are actually involved in these sex rings are second and third generation kids that have been abused and have grown up to it and have become the abusers and the handlers and the brokers themselves.
Yeah, which leads us to another topic is that, why are there adults that are out there that have been manipulated and managed through their sexual abuse to be the adults they are, and do they have loyalties to certain organizations, religions, and so on? And that's a whole different topic area about people that have been abused sexually. And, of course, there may be people listening to this on the radio right now. And if you do want to call in, please do. We just can't talk about some things. We understand we'll cut you off. But we do. Sometimes I get callers every once in a while. I get people who call me or leave a message or an email when we bring the subject up. It's a very, very difficult subject for a lot of people. But that last caller we had about the foster care thing, I can't tell you how many times, especially with CPS. I got to tell you up front, I've never had, except for one experience in Southern California, a positive response from CPS. It's always something that's going to be bad for the kid.
Yeah.
That's what I think. And that's what I've experienced. But, you know, mandated reporters have to be mandated reporters. And it's occurred to me, or I've thought about the fact that are we, as mandated reporters, are we actually turning over the child from a worse situation? Now, I'm not talking about beatings and real abuse that you see and stuff like that, but there's some stuff that we have to report that might be a little bit marginal. But then you have to also, after you've worked with CPS and some of the divisions, say to yourself, I'm turning this kid over to that?
Yeah.
You know? And I've seen that many, many times. Because what happens is they do get in the foster care situation. That's where they put them, in foster care, and they move them from community to community. They break up the family, and that's another aspect of this is that the breaking up of the family. What it's done to California, what it's done to the rest of the nation. You can see how this is all going.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point, is sometimes is the system put in place to protect these kids not worse than what they're leaving.
What about the DOJ stepping in? With Sessions going in, this has got to be their bailiwick. They've got to be able to get in there and clean house.
This should be the FBI. FBI should be all over this.
They should. Yeah.
Let me tell you about the FBI, because I was one of these people back. I started a program for missing children back in 1986 as part of my master's degree. And when you go into public schools and school districts, county departments of education and so on, you'll always see books and you'll see pictures of missing children. That was my program. It was called the ICM program, Insight in Everyone's Mind. And it was a very simple program, but very, very effective, because it got the kids' pictures out there. And I know a lot of kids have been returned or found or whatever, but when people pick up that book and they start going through the book, they're like stunned that so many kids are missing.
Yeah.
And it's a huge number, ladies and gentlemen, and it's a huge problem. And this is a real societal thing that we all need to kind of get a grip on and say, none of this in my country. And right now it's running rampant. This trafficking in human flesh and slavery is all incentivized by Obama.
Yeah, it has enablement and protection all the way into the White House.
Right.
And but if Hillary Clinton had been elected, it would continue to have that enablement and that protection.
Oh, it'd go on steroids.
Yeah.
Right. But the FBI, back in the day, about missing children, never wanted to get involved with any of this stuff. That wasn't their job. They didn't look. They were looking out for big gangsters, Al Capone types, And this whole thing about getting into missing children, they saw their attitude at the time back in the 80s when I started this, because I met with the FBI several times in Orange County, in Santa Ana, actually. And I met with them several times to kind of get their perspective and understanding, because I was advocating for them to be involved because nobody was involving themselves in there. And they just kept saying, look, most of these kids, in their attitude, most of these kids are from divorced families, and there's their family issues, and we don't get into that. Thank you very much. You're on your way. But since then, a lot of advocates have come out, and the FBI has now gotten more involved in these things. But see, what it's opened up to the FBI is all these pedophile rings. Okay. And you'll remember, Jerry Sandusky, Penn State, was a pedophile ring, a high-end pedophile ring that dealt in white boys.
Yeah.
That was their specialty.
So you look at the amount of sex trafficking rings that have been busted up just here in California over the last 6 months.
Right.
And they haven't made a dent in this. You hear these things about these sex rings. When they're talking about sex rings, they're not talking about Julia Roberts and Pretty Woman here, people. They're talking about kids.
Violent.
Children.
Babies,
and that's not a lie. Infants at some points in these things. It is horrific. Oh, do we have a caller, Bob?
Oh, we don't.
Oh. We better get off to a break here, Paul, and then we'll be back on the other side. If you do have any questions or comments, give us a call at 530-605-4567. This is Sovereign Minds.
Happy holidays from our family here at KCNR 1460 AM. We're celebrating our 8th year on the air. We'd like to thank our holiday sponsors, the Original Clydes, located at 1250 Hartnell, the only full-service and sales store for television, satellite, and home electronics in Reading, and Zoe's Travel Store in the Mount Shasta Mall, from city streets to country gravel. Your fun begins at Zoe's Travel. Zoe's provides all your travel needs 7 days a week. From the KCNR family and sponsors, happy holidays.
The seasons are changing. Keeping your family healthy is important. So is the health of your car. The longevity of your vehicle depends on you to make sure the oil, radiator coolant, windshield wipers, and other vital systems all have been taken care of, so your car can bring your healthy family through the seasons. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Premier doesn't require an appointment, and you don't need to drop your car off or wait. Premier changes your fluids while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes and more with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro. Premier's in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Both locations get you a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change.
Hi, we're Billy and Patrick for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Premier dealer.
You know, Powerhouse Solar has been a local family-owned business since 2003, and solar is all they do.
Solar, electric, battery backup, hybrid systems, and pool solar so you can swim more months of the year.
Solar energy saves you money every month, and they have financing options available. Just give them a call for a free estimate. It's 275-5600, or visit their website at powerhousesolar.com.
They sell the best quality solar products from SunPower. SunPower has the highest efficiency panel in the world with the best warranty in the industry, 25 years bumper to bumper.
Powerhouse Solar offers a lifetime warranty for workmanship and installation to the original owner at the original location. So check out Solar. Maybe able to reduce your electricity costs and help save the environment.
Give them a call, 275-5600. Like SunPower, Powerhouse Solar has an A-plus Better Business Bureau rating.
Check out their third-party customer reviews at powerhousesolar.com. Then call 275-5600 for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Premier dealer.
There's a day for giving thanks, and now a day for giving. North State Giving Tuesday, a global day dedicated to giving back, as citizens come together for the common purpose of celebrating generosity and giving. The Cascade Theater is participating in North State Giving Tuesday, November 29th, and invites the community to an open house for free tours, hot chocolate, coffee, cookies, and even a special visit from Santa and his helpers from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., Tuesday, November 29th. You can also donate online to the Cascade Theater, assist other local nonprofits, and learn more about North State Giving Tuesday at northstategives.org.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels' feet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down.
Welcome back to Sovereign Minds.
You can run on for a long
time. And, that's absolutely what needs to happen to these people, is they need to be cut down. If it's what we're looking at is so horrifying and so just contrary to a sane mind that even when the evidence is staring you in the face, it's hard to accept it and get your mind around it, that there are these creatures like this that exist and operate in the open daylight, often in positions of high power. It's kind of overwhelming once your eyes are really open to it, don't you think, Paul?
Yeah, you know, and their specialty is to hide in plain sight, and they're proud of it. In fact, as it was explained to us, and it's just never left me, as it was explained to us, is that that's part of their sexual gratification. And even the pursuit is part of the sexual gratification. And I have, and I know I've talked to many people that have been involved in the counseling of sexually abused children and sexual abusers themselves, as children, as teens, and so on. There's special schools where these people go. A lot of people don't understand that. Special places that won't allow, you know, they're not going to allow, let's say, a 15-year-old who's a person who has been sexually abused as a minor growing up, well, they've become an abuser themselves. It's very, very typical. And once they start abusing sexually, usually the juvenile court will remand them over to, if they're done with their juvenile time, they go through a lot of sex counseling and so on, but they end up in special homes. And there's a number of those special homes in Sacramento, and I've visited a number for a number of occasions for a number of reasons. Why? Because we're doing work on finding kids. And, you know, it's very interesting the way that whole developmental system plays out. But, I think that once people start to understand how this whole thing plays, it becomes a whole new world to you. Everything changes. I mean, it really does. There's been a few moments where in 1 or 2 days my life has been completely altered on how I think. And the 4 days that we spent with the Crimes Against Children's Task Force were those days for me. It sticks with you. You just can't get rid of it. And you have to do something about it. And that's why people need to take action on this now. And this hiding in plain sight, like I said, we had a situation with one individual, and I ended up testifying in court. And it was the classic example of the abused child thing where, you know, by an abuser anyway, of an abuser he was accused, that you find out that it's not just one child that they abuse. Their appetite is insatiable for this. Mm-hmm. And they want to consistently abuse sexually, and certainly the pedophiles and child abusers have their own age groups that they work with. Pedophiles usually are from birth to like 5 or 7 years old. That's when they're pedophiles. That's pedophilic. And then child abusers are usually anything above that, prepubescent, pubescent, postpubescent, up until around 18 years of age, and by that time they're done. And so certain child abusers and pedophiles have certain ages that appeal to them the most. And what happens is that they will, let's say, we'll use the case of James Comey, the FBI director. He was actually kidnapped by a rapist, a male rapist, who kidnapped him and his brother Peter. Peter, by the way, works for the Clinton Foundation. Just thought I'd throw that one out there. He's one of the directors of the Clinton Foundation, James Comey's brother, the FBI director. You're kind of getting the drift there. Yeah. But anyway, he was kidnapped when he was a young boy, and we understand sexually abused. And the individual was a certain age group, and that's why the individual desired him. Now, what happens? I think he was just post-pubescent. So he was probably around 13 or 14. But what happens is that a lot of these guys, they'll age up. The kids will grow up. They'll get a year older. And everything about the child changes, and they become undesirable to the child molester or the pedophile, which you think that's a good thing. Well, they have the system down. Well, I've got one. How about you get me another, and I'll trade you mine? Type stuff. This is what goes on a lot with pedophiles and child molesters.
And that's what people need to open their eyes to. We're not talking about isolated instances of sick people running around. This is an industry.
Yeah.
This is operating at an industrial level all throughout the world. There's children being shipped into the Middle East, into Malaysia, Indonesia, into
Muslim countries are really big on it.
Muslim countries are huge on it.
Part of what they do. It's just part of what they do.
It's who they are. Talk to one of our vets that have been to Afghanistan and ask them about how common boy rapists are in Afghanistan among the locals.
They have the man-boy Thursdays or whatever.
Yeah, man-boy Thursdays.
Is there some name? I know one of the vets is going to call it. They know the name. They correct me all the time. But yeah, and there's actually YouTubes you can see where these exchanges are on Thursday nights. In Afghanistan, the YouTubes are out there. They dress up the boys as effeminates, and they barter and bid on them. Right there, it's just a slave auction. Right there in front of you, you can see it.
Yeah,
sex
and
slave.
It's common practice,
right?
And it's you look at individual. How did Hillary Clinton make her bones as a lawyer? By defending a child rapist,
right?
And look how laughing about it years ago. Yeah.
Look how she defended him.
By attacking the victim.
Right. That's exactly. See that?
That alone.
And go ahead.
That alone should speak volumes about who this person is.
Right.
And what they're about. And the things that are being uncovered about the Clinton Foundation, they've operated in Haiti. They've operated in Africa. They've operated in Asia. They've operated in all of these places. And the sheer scope of it, it is just, it really is hard to get your mind around what you're looking at. Just the sheer volume of what we're talking about. But like Paul said, if you actually take a time to look through the pictures, do you know how many tens of thousands of kids are missing? Tens of thousands gone. And we don't realize it. We quietly go about our lives. You know, maybe we see five or six of them on the Walmart wall or something as we go in, and we don't think twice about it. But these people need to be found and rooted out.
Well, and it's an enormous task, and especially in our criminal justice system. You know, once they are found out, once they are convicted, then it's, you know, not good for them, obviously, but it's very good for society. But it just takes, it's kind of like what happened in the San Bernardino shooting situation, where they were building bombs in the house, and people could see what was going on, but they didn't report it. And then they go out and murder people. You know, I mean, you have to, you know, start talking about and thinking about kids and what's been going on with them, and thinking about some of your neighbors that have suspicion. I'm not trying to be a big brother here, but, you know, when you see kids coming and going in a house, maybe five kids in 1 week, and they're all different kids. Hello. Yeah. That's called a clue.
Yeah.
And I just gave you one. I mean, that's pretty obvious. And that's a case that came right out of West Sacramento, what I just described to you. Was kids were going in and out of a house. Men would follow in and out. And this was going on and been going on for a long time. And finally, we got two kids in there who were foster kids, and they ended up in that circle. And that's what we busted. And the neighbors knew what was going on. They knew it was odd. And like I was talking to one of the neighbors who came down to the school to talk to me. I said, don't you think that's kind of strange when you have all these different boys? And by the way, the boys were redheads or blonde-haired boys around 12 to 13. I said, and they're different? And you know they're different? And the person said, yeah, we kind of thought there was something going on that wasn't right. And you know, they came out, and they to their credit. But this went on for months. See, we caught this whole thing on a truancy suite. That's how we caught it. The kids were being truant. These two individuals were being truant. And one thing led to another. And truancy laws are different in terms of how you can protect kids and what kind of legal action you can take. Mm-hmm. And you can go in directly to a house without a warrant, basically. That's kind of an interesting thing. And I've actually had to do that because it's child safety.
Well, and people need to understand just how close to home it's gotten now. The Sherry Papini abduction here in Redding. I would be amazed if that doesn't come back to some kind of sex trafficking ring or cartel activity. We're still missing a lady in Weaverville that was snatched. There's a young gal that's a friend of my wife that went through an attempted abduction at Shasta College on the campus. She was when she went to school. This individual followed her into the school, followed her all the way to her classroom. She got into her classroom. But when she came out after class and she was backing her car out, he pulled his car in behind her, blocked her car, and attempted to get her out of her vehicle and abduct her. That's right here at Shasta College, people. It's here.
Wow. Yeah, all that's very classic. And, of course, what's happening now in California is you're starting to see a lot more of that as the cartels start to really settle in. You know, first we've had the cartel invasion brought in by the big invasion brought in by Jerry Brown. When he became governor, he got rid of the Bureau of Narcotics Enforcement inside the Department of Justice, which was responsible for their camp programs, which basically left wide open all the foothills in Redding up there, all the whole Sierra Nevada and all that, for the cartels to come in and grow marijuana. Now, we're starting to see the second generation of behavior from the cartels on a bigger scale than we ever had before, and that's the kidnappings, the holding for hostage for things like that.
And the transition from the marijuana industry to the heroin industry, which ties into the sex trafficking, because that's how they keep these people compliant and doped up on heroin. Right. And the next step for the cartels is assassination for hire, public executions, violence. Right.
Well, that's what they use the MS-13 kids for.
Mm-hmm.
The young children that are coming across, they're flooding across the border and getting into these foster care families. And again, these children are not your normal child because they have been children that have been taken away from their families, sometimes by force, or they just kill the parents for the child. In Honduras, and Senate Sour. By the way, our illustrious Democratic vice presidential candidate, Tim Kaine, worked for, as a Jesuit missionary down in Honduras working with these kind of kids.
At a boys' home.
Right. And, you know, that's a huge red flag for me because I know all about MS-13 and what goes on.
Yeah. And, a lot of those kids with MS-13, it's not unusual for them to commit their first assassinations at 7, 8, 9 years old.
That's one of the requirements for them to come across the border now.
And again, what is the MS-13, just so we're clear?
It's a primarily Honduran Nicaraguan street gang that is heavily prevalent throughout Southern California, the American Southwest, and they specialize in murder for hire, low-level drug trafficking, and the slave trade.
Yeah, big time in the slave trade.
And they're here now.
I'm thinking of how I can pronounce the word Malasalvio. Now, I don't know. I'll look it up on the internet and give it to you real quick. But it started out as a Sereno group.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's Sereno. Let me say it right. So it started out basically in Los Angeles and became a more violent group. Mm-hmm. And it's not uncommon, like Red was saying, that the children are their first act to become a member of MS-13 is to murder somebody.
Stone cold killers that have been killing since a young age. Their minds are burnt out on a combination of cocaine, heroin, methamphetamine. They're dead inside.
Yeah, and you know, if you Google or go into YouTube, you can actually, there are some videos that are now produced that shadow these MS-13 kids growing up to the point of where they actually do commit the murder. You can see it. You can see it play out.
The state of California is allowing this to come in floods.
Knowingly.
It's not racist to be concerned about illegal immigrants, about Muslims that seek to overthrow the United States for Sharia law, to people that come from pedophile countries where it's normal and think that they can behave that way. It's not racist to be worried about these drug cartels and these people coming across the border. You would have to be insane not to be concerned and not wanting to know who these people are. Are you here to go to a construction job and be a productive citizen or something? Fantastic. But we need to know that and find that out. You don't just get to come over the border and we'll figure it out later. That's not racist.
Well, look, Canada, they have their they have their laws. Mexico, as bad as they are, they have their laws.
They have a wall. They have a wall in southern Mexico,
yes,
to prevent MS-13 from coming across the border.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of the pandering and the nonsense. I'm tired of the sacrifice of public safety in the name of votes for power for these people.
Yeah.
Is it time for the state of Jefferson yet? Where is it? Because I know how we'd handle something like that here in Jefferson if we found out. Ain't nobody calling the cops. We don't need them.
No, we'll take care of business.
We'll take care of it.
It's Amaro Salvatruce as MS-13.
But they're here. And you look at the progression of these street gangs. You know, as Paul was pointing out, MS-13 is a breakaway of Sereños, which is a direct breakaway of the Norteño Sereño street gangs, which represented a fracturing of La M.A., which is the Mexican mafia, that occurred right here in Vacaville State Penitentiary.
Interesting.
Yeah, which brings us to the other aspect, and the most unsettling thing is this meeting that occurred about 10 days ago. We got wind of it, and we got a follow-up visit by somebody who was actually in the meeting that came to our tea party and laid it all out. It just so happened I was speaking about stuff like this, but what it was is a meeting between, as it was described to us, between the Speaker of the Assembly, Speaker of the Senate Pro Tem, De Leon. It was several members of the Assembly and Senate. Am I okay on time?
Yes.
Yeah, we got 2 minutes.
And we got we had members, according to my source, and not this individual, but he confirmed that they people were there from the federal government. I was told there were three representatives from the Obama administration present. You also had the Mexican consulate there. This is down in the Natomas area. And you had members of La Familia Nuestra there. Mm-hmm. And the topic of conversation is what's going to happen to the, for the violent overthrow of California.
CalExit, baby.
CalExit.
Everything that we've been talking about is tied right into CalExit.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is called sedition, by the way. And we're investigating. This is what this is an active investigation we're doing. I mean, I don't know about the citizens that are listening to this radio show. That would be a real big concern because we actually had, and we got the, everybody in the Tea Party will tell you, we actually had that person come and blur it out to us. Now, it just so happened, we were already caught wind of this. We knew about this. I had no idea who this person was. Yeah. And now it's led to other people, of course. You know, this thing. I know, Red, you had some contacts as well. This is all not just happening in California.
Not
it's happening
just
in
California.
States.
They have federal representatives that will be supporting this. What surprised me is a large part of them are Republicans.
Yeah, just... Yeah, I read the. I didn't read the names, but I read the list that I found about the number of Republicans involved in this. Yeah.
All right. Well, we are down to our last 30 seconds, Paul. I want to thank you for that. Great radio. Thank you for your help in bringing this out. And like we said, as much as we've given you today, people, there's so much more that we can't get into. Be aware of your surroundings, of what's going on, and be aware of the fight that's coming. It's far from over. Thank you for joining us for this special Sovereign Minds, and we should see you back with the full crew next week.
All right, thanks, Paul. Outstanding job, Red and Wynn. Thank you for listening to Sovereign Minds here at KCNR, Shasta Redding, where the news is next.
Most U.S. airports are operating with minimal delays as millions of Americans return home after the long Thanksgiving weekend. Federal Aviation Administration data showed most U.S. airports with delays of 15 minutes or less this afternoon. One possible problem area is Washington State, where storms have dropped more than 2 feet of snow in 24 hours. Senators are pledging to take a firm line with Russia next year, setting up a potential conflict with incoming President Donald Trump. Correspondent Linda Kenyon has the story.
South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham says, among other things, allegations against a foreign government interfering in the U.S. election process cannot go unanswered. The Obama administration has formally accused Russia of hacking. Arizona Senator John McCain has warned President-elect Donald Trump against another reset of U.S. Moscow.